No, I'm recording right now, so we're going to go ahead and I guess we can talk about the news. Like, there's only a couple things to mention, but most of it will be the WCW shit, which I didn't.
Matt Hardy.
Yeah, so I will do the introductions. Do you guys remember what order we were doing them in? Because I don't.
Yeah, CK, Crater, Dave Manny, and me.
Right.
Oh, ready, both.
Ready.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm a Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Crater. David Mania in the house.
And it's the king, Mr. Anti-Mediocrity, Feed Your Mother, My Philosophy, Whip My Sausage, Fuck You in the Ass, because I hate faggots.
There goes that word again.
That made no sense. Hey, gay community. Gay community, I'm just kidding. And if the gay community doesn't get this, the way I just said faggot was derogatory, but when you're a kid and you say faggot, like when you're about to get in a fist fight, that's not gay. But, I mean, when you guys get on your high horse and say no one should say a name, fuck you, I'm going to say whatever name I want. Get off your high horse. Glad, I'm glad you're mad, I'm rad, and you can suck my dad.
Yeah.
When I use that term, faggot, I don't mean the term like homosexual. When I'm talking about faggot, I'm talking about people that have like fucking crew cuts and tribal tattoos and ride Harleys and think they're tough shit.
I'm talking about my brother that fucking always looks down on me because I'm abnormal.
And this is the Crater was actually telling me this earlier, which is not a coincidence at all, by the way. We were all planning it this way. This weekend is actually the 16th anniversary of the very first WCW Monday Nitro episode.
Woo-hoo. 16th.
September 4th, 1995. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about here in a little bit, like WCW from that period until the end in 2001. I guess, like, I haven't really watched a whole lot of WCW since it closed down, but over the last week or so, I've watched a couple of things here and there. And I still remember a lot of the stuff because, like I said, I mean, when all this stuff happened, I was still, you know, late teens, early 20s when WCW was still around. So it's still kind of clear in my mind what all was going on with the company.
I've been watching it constantly, like all week, like trying to prepare for the show. But I've just been watching nothing but stuff from 97. I've been watching all the Nitros from 97, and I'm on August right now. And actually, right now, I'm watching the Road Wild pay-per-view while we're doing this podcast. And I'm watching Alex Wright versus Chris Jericho for the Cruiserweight title.
Hey, Crater, may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Was 97 like the era when the NWO started getting messy, like tons of cats in it, or was that 98?
I think that was 98.
Yeah, because
that's when they started doing, like, that's when they were doing two factions. They were doing the Wolfpack, Red and Black NWO, and then they were doing, like, you know, the Hollywood NWO, and they were bringing, like, Stevie Ray to the NWO. And
one of the first early on-air seemingly shoots was Eddie Guerrero's LWO. Now, I'm not acting like the LWO was a fresh concept. But his sincerity on the microphone, his anger, didn't it seem like he was pissed about his push?
Yeah, that was in 98, too. Like he did a shoot. I know he did, like, a legit shoot on their one, and then it turned into, like, a whole worked shoot against Eric Bischoff later on, like, and it turned into a storyline.
There were a lot of those that went on WCW.
But that was more in the Russo era, usually.
Yeah, but we'll be talking about, like, we got a lot of stuff. I got some bullet points, stuff that I definitely want to mention, and I know Crater's got a lot of stuff, and Dave Mania's. It seems like a lot of the, well, we'll get to this a little bit later, but it seems like a lot of the wrestling fans from sort of the Mid-South, South area were more into WCW and NWA and stuff than WWF. I gotta say, though, that I wasn't one of them. I was actually always more of a WWF guy, but yeah, I did watch WCW. I mean,
yeah, me too. I mean, but I always caught it on replay, you know.
Yeah,
because I mean, we'd watch the, you know, WWF, and then we'd watch Nitro right afterwards.
Yeah.
That was a good thing about Nitro because they played it twice.
Yeah, for sure.
And let's all be frank, okay? Even if WCW was more someone's thing or a better product, period, what was more pushed? What was the boom period? WWF.
Yeah.
When you're 4 years old and you're a kid, what are you going to say? Are you going to convince your parents? Was your parents on the internet like, WWF's not as cool because it's not as real and not as southern or not as, you know, athletic? No, it's like you fucking take what's given to you.
Mm-hmm.
You consume, like, it's like fucking Raisin Bran.
Yeah, and I gotta say, as much as, you know, I like WCW over WWF, I gotta admit that, like, the shit with Hogan being champion, you know, when they first formed the NWO, it, like, bothered me that he only defended, like, the belt, like, four times in, like, a year, from 96, 97, in, like, a year's time, he defended it four times.
But the funny thing is, Crater, about that, like, because if that's on pay-per-view... Like, who knows what he's doing at house shows? I'm not trying to defend him.
I don't think Hogan did house shows in WCW.
Yeah, what I mean is, Critter, I'm not really trying to go against you, but back in the day, do you remember WWF was WrestleMania, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, and maybe Royal Rumble in 1989 or 90, I forget. There was really only four
in your house shows, too. Your house.
Well, later on, yeah. But, yeah, we'll talk about all this here in a little bit. But there's a couple of news topics we need to mention real quick, talk about them. Well, first thing I guess we can mention is not really news, but it's related to the show, our big dissection of the top 50 superstars last week. Got a lot of heated discussion over on the Dead Pit message board particularly. Want to get your thoughts on that.
For all you fuckers listening, we want more feedback. I don't care if it's negative or positive. We want more people. I don't want the same two fucking jackasses responding to us.
Well, we have got a lot of positive feedback on the YouTube page. I've seen one cat put it as the best podcast in the IWC, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Could you tell me what IWC means? Because I'm a mark. I don't know.
Internet Wrestling Community.
Oh, shit.
It's like its own little promotion.
Hey, yeah. Don't.
Someone there put that me and Dave sound just like, but which is funny because someone told Dave in the past that we were like, he thought we were brothers or something.
Yeah. My brother from another mother.
But yeah, I don't know what else you guys want to say about the, you know, it's opinions on this show. I mean, nobody is right or wrong in who their choices are for top 50 superstars, wrestlers, whatever. But, you know, it seemed to, a couple of our choices, and particularly talking smack about Nick Bockwinkel and Lou Fez and a couple of other ones. It was kind of funny.
What bothered me about that?
Go ahead.
I'm gonna say this real quick. What bothered me about that when it consistently went after that, and they eventually acknowledged it. And the one dude's cool, but actually, the one dude, I don't know if he's coming back or what, but Nick Bockwinkel, I'm like, dude, I put it in caps. I'm like, dude, I said he belongs on the list because I'm a big fan of his mic work with the eloquent, like, speak and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really dug what he did in AWA and all that, and just his mic skills, period. My thing why he'd be in the top 50, it isn't just ring work, it's his mic skills and ability to draw heat. So I just don't like when people, like, I'm like, dude, don't look at the other three guys, and I'm not throwing the other three guys under the bus, but I'm like, don't say your whole show is about bashing old guys if the one guy saying this old guy, he liked them. And other guys said they liked Terry Funk. And other guys said they liked this other old guy. Fucking Dave Mania said he liked Jimmy Anvil. That was the most retarded thing I ever heard, but he said he liked them. Dave, you know, I'm getting a hard foundation. It's my favorite tag team of all time.
I hear you, bud.
Yeah, well.
I agree with you, dude. I mean, it's like, it's fucking wrestling, guys. You're supposed to have fun with it. I'm sorry, but anybody that gets upset about a top 50 fucking thing from fucking a year ago is a goddamn mark.
Yeah.
I mean, so Kurt Angle's a mark?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. But Kurt, I think Kurt Angle's just talking about, I wish he would have went more in depth about it, about the hypocrisy that we all know about. You know, I mean, Mick Foley's one thing, even though Mick Foley deserves way above 30-something, but I think Kurt Angle has a right to be pissed. He has a legacy, dude. Those 2000s, he was wrecking shop.
But that was fucking egotistical, what Kurt Angle was saying. Like, you know, saying, well, Shawn Michaels deserves number one, but, like, if I'm not in the top five, don't put me on the list at all.
Well, he's already on the list. I mean, and what's funny is he's just now hearing about this. It's fucking DVD came out like a year ago.
Yeah, and, exactly.
But, bros, you guys do not, like, in terms of if the name, who's number two showstopper if it isn't Benoit or Angle? Top three wrestlers, performance-wise, WWE of all time. Correct me if I'm wrong. Probably Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle, and Bret Hart and Davey Boy Smith were great. Davey Boy Smith gets nixed out because he didn't have enough years in. But I think Kurt Angle's a fucking beast. We're talking fucking 8 years of fucking top-notch.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's in TNA. I mean, they're not going to put over somebody else's talent, you know.
Yeah, but shouldn't we critique that as analysts if we are, you know?
Well, I mean
Davey Boy Smith had enough years in what, the WWF?
Davey Boy Smith, I don't know what the fuck was going on with that, because to me, I would for sure at least put him in the fucking top 50. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Him versus... I like the whole story about him and Bret Hart. Like, wasn't one of them fucked up? Wasn't Davey Boy Smith fucked during that match? And it's a bona fide classic.
Yeah,
like, that match is Steamboat Macho Man material. There's not much touching that match.
Yeah, that was definitely Davey Boy's. That was probably the best match I can remember him in. And there was another one, actually. Nobody talks about it. I think it was somewhere in, like, Germany or something, where they actually crowned the first European champion. It was between Bulldog and Owen Hart. And they had they had a killer match, too. Nobody
that
ever.
That, like, 97?
Yeah.
Okay. God, he had good matches. Did he still have the pop?
Well, I think they were both heels is the weird thing at that time.
Yeah, they were a tag team at the time, and then it's a tournament for that title, you know, and then it came down to Owen and Bulldog and over there, and like you said, it was like Germany or whatever.
Yeah, the things, though, there's a few on the list that, like, I can understand why they're not on there. There is legitimately, like, a couple that I just scratch my head, and I'm like, why? I mean, Arn Anderson is one.
Fuck yeah.
And Davey Boy Smith is another. I mean, Davey Boy Smith is dead. His son's working for the company now, or was at the time, I guess. And it's just like, you know, he was in the legendary tag team, was a great singles guy, intercontinental champion. I don't get
it. Did you guys ever see him do the, I don't know if it was a backflip or front flip in the ring, but his athleticism seemed bar none. Like, anybody that could do, I think he did a standing front flip or back flip. It was like, I've never seen it look that crisp. Mm-hmm. They showed a quick clip when he was with his tag team partner.
Seems like I do remember that, kind of.
Yeah. Like, he just did this, like, weird impot. Like, you know how someone could do a back flip off, like, a 3-foot thing, but he did it standing. I was like, did he just fucking do that? Like, how the fuck did he do that? But he also put steroids in his wife, or no, he put a roofie in his wife and raped her, which is sexy. Crater, call him a rapist. Crater, call him a rapist.
Why is there so much talk about rape on this show?
I don't know. It's a big subject on the Four podcast for sure.
I wish I would have raped my ex-girlfriend Melissa so she'd have puppies.
God.
I'm just kidding. Dude, can I tell you guys something real quick? CK, don't hate me. I know you're the leader of the pack, nigger. Oh, man, please delete that.
You know I don't delete anything. This show is unedited.
Oh, man. Well, I don't care. Everyone, I'm a pretty vulgar guy, whatever. But
you
my friend...
You delete some of this shit.
My friend just had 13 puppies. 13 puppies. Black Lab, Half Mastiff. 13 puppies, 2 dead ones. So it had a total of 15 puppies. Have you ever heard of that?
Damn, no.
Well, you know, speaking of British Bulldogs, you know. That made no sense.
So anyway, yeah. The hate mail. Continue on with the hate mail, folks. Go ahead, because I don't get
it. No, CK, everyone, I'm so sorry about the N-word, man. I watched the movie Roots. My dad made me watch it.
Yeah, you're a big fan of LeVar Burton. So, another thing, SmackDown. They did the SmackDown Live show on Tuesday. And I don't know if we talked about, last week, that it's like a test run. And they may be moving it full-time to Tuesdays Live.
It would be a genius move.
I actually think it would be a really good move. And I would definitely watch SmackDown if it was live. And the thing is about Friday nights with me, I'm usually so goddamn tired. I'm taking a nap around that time. And I never watch it anyway. I just never do. I can never get in front of the TV at 8 o'clock. I'm usually passed out by that point. So
it had a different feel to it, too. You know what I mean? It was just like, yeah. It's almost like I was watching a different product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was great.
But the thing about them putting it so close, it kind of made me forget. Did Randy Orton fight Ted DiBiase on SmackDown, or did he fight Ziggler on Raw? Was it?
He fought Ziggler on Raw, but he didn't fight anybody on SmackDown, did he?
He didn't?
I don't
know. He fought Christian on SmackDown this past week.
Yeah, that was the main event.
Oh, yeah. I just remember, all I remember about SmackDown is like, because of the. I just remember that contract signing between CM Punk and Triple H, being like that whole showdown with Nash coming out there. Just being really entertaining.
There's still a lot of mistakes they're making though, like especially on Raw when like Triple H just came out and just out of nowhere he's like, so all the SmackDown guys are going to be on Raw from this point forward, you know. Couldn't they have done something with that? Like make
could
that
build it up.
Yeah, I mean, my God, that's a pretty big thing. I mean, if you think about it,
it's almost like bring them in like NXT or Invasion. But I mean but also that angle's played out. So it's just like, hey, we're merging both of these products. Because I really like their roster, but I hear a lot of the guys behind the scenes are nervous about their fucking jobs.
I'll get ready to mention that because I read the article on WrestleZone where like a lot of like the mid card guys Santino by the way was in a car wreck. I don't know if you guys seen that, but like guys like him and Zack Ryder and just mid card guys are really worried about their status in the WWE because of the two brands combining now.
Just one thing though that I wanted to mention on here, because I was talking to, I think I was talking to Crater about this on Messenger, and like we were talking about the Kofi Kingston, they brought him in like what was it, 2 or 3 years ago? He was in a main event of a pay per view, and they do this a lot.
Was it when he was pushing? They were pushing him like against Orton.
Yeah, and they do this a lot, and they push these guys like R-Truth is another one, and The Miz, where like their main event briefly. But they can never get away from like their core. Like Sheamus is another one they kind of did that with, and
Wade Barrett.
Wade Barrett.
I see them two guys. I mean, I know it's about stature, but Wade Barrett's a beast. I think he can be a beast on the microphone eventually.
Yeah. But what I was saying though is like it just seems like they give these guys a push for like 2 or 3 weeks to build like a pay per view, and then it's just over. Like, I don't know why they do this. And, like, it's happening with Mark Henry now, and that's not going to continue. I mean, that'll eventually die down.
Well, they just need to try it. I'm sorry, go on.
I said they were doing the same thing with Ziggler, when he was when he was feuding with Edge. And
He was like the Royal Rumble.
One-day title run or whatever. And then,
Jack Swagger. Did we mention Jack Swagger? He was another one.
See, Jack Swagger probably should have never had that run. They should have looked at his mic skills and his overall charisma. He doesn't deserve it. He has a great, great, great stature. Crater, me and him were going back and forth about the his fuck up in the ring against I think Alex Riley.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do that. And you know what I like about Randy Orton? I just saw this old clip. Where he's fucking cussing out Kofi Kingston. I kind of felt bad for Kingston, but I'm like, he's screaming at him, drop, or a word like that. Stay on the fucking mat, because he's about to do his spot. and he gets up and he's like, "You fucking idiot, idiot."
Yeah, he's like, "Fucking stupid."
Yeah. And he shouldn't do that. There should be a level, because that's where it can get personal. And say if Kofi Kingston could really have some knuckle game or fist skills, I think he should punch that dude in the face for talking to him like that.
I know exactly the clip you're talking about, because I clearly remember that.
I'm like, I look at it, I'm like, you have to respect Randy Orton for respecting his craft. And the one dude who called Randy Orton, Randy Chinlock Orton, Randy Orton just put on a borderline classic.
Yeah.
And I don't want to abuse the word classic, but Dolph Ziggler is the fucking shit after watching that match.
Yeah.
On Raw, did you guys see that match?
Yeah.
It was a great match.
Well, I mean, it's like, he's another example, but like, when are they ever going to do something? Like, for instance, back what, 15, 16 years ago, or longer than that, probably more like 20 years ago, Bret Hart beats Ric Flair for the world title out of nowhere. When's the last time they did something like that?
Oh, like a blow-up face win?
Completely push the shit out of somebody and make them a main event star.
Well, last time they did that was probably like 2007, 2008 with CM Punk when they gave him his first world title reign, you know, when he cashed his Money in the Bank against, on Edge.
Yeah, but I'm not even talking about Money in the Bank. I mean, I'm talking about just something out of nowhere.
Where somebody, an actual match.
Yeah, where somebody, for instance, Drew McIntyre or somebody like that.
I'd love to see Drew McIntyre. Because, like,
out of nowhere.
Why, but, like, I just think that guy's got a lot of charisma.
Bret Hart's all about him, dude. And I'm sorry, as creator, I'm going to let you speak real quick. And I'm very sorry for interrupting you. Bret Hart's, like, really big on him. Just, I have no idea about him. Because I'm pretty new to the new stuff.
Yeah.
And viewers, don't bash me, but they don't put him on television. How's someone going to learn about this guy?
Exactly. I don't know. Like Mark Henry killed him, like, not too long ago.
Oh, that spot with Big Show.
Yeah, that was he legitimately got, I think, a little bumped up from that. Or, I don't know, but...
CK, you should make a video for us, and the whole thing is just like promote the four and just have a nonstop clip of Mark Henry jumping into Big Show violently.
That was I'm not a fan of Mark Henry, but like that was just amazing seeing him taking Big Show off the stage through that table, or what I guess it was through a table off the stage. It was just. It was amazing.
Yeah,
I'm all about Henry, but you'll never be like, man, you'll never hear me be like, oh, Mark Henry's athleticism. But when he jumped across that was like someone trying to save, he looked like he was trying to save his grandmother from getting robbed, like across the street. Like, he looked like fucking Superman.
Yeah, but I would just like to see something surprise us. We all kind of expect the Money in the Bank thing now. I would just like to see,
Tyson Kidd win it.
Something where they would actually elevate somebody for good, because they need some new main eventers pretty bad.
And here's the thing. We all laugh at, like, when I say something. I hate Tyson Kidd. I don't hate Tyson Kidd because he's a terrible wrestler. He's terribly written. You think that guy, do you guys, no one here, like, except my punk ass, maybe, I go to gym. It's so fucking taxing. I look at people busting their, like, people doing, like, bench press, like, 200 with their fucking legs in the air. I'm like, dude, I'll fucking never do that. That guy could probably do it. He's in the gym all day. He's probably busting out somas in his throat. We all clown him thinking he can never be anything, but all he needs to be is, like, well-written instead of having a fucking front faux hawk.
Yeah, I think he got rid of that, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he shaved it off.
Thank God.
So moving onward to the last thing, which happened, when did this happen? I think it happened on Monday or something.
Monday or Tuesday, I think.
Matt Hardy.
Let's be nice. How can we?
Yeah, he posted the suicide note is one thing that he posted, but the even funnier aspect is his response to what it was supposed to be.
What, his elaborate, his note by his bedside when he wrecked? he was like saying that, like, he was saying his fucking that letter was basically excerpts from what he initially wrote when he got in a car wreck or some shit.
Yeah, it's evidently his retirement. He was, and you can go back on YouTube and look, and look, there's no way. It's
well,
hilarious.
They deleted his video of it.
Yeah, but there's copies of it, I'm sure, out there.
Okay, well.
Hey, fellas.
I know your video is still up on Facebook.
You guys are Southern. You guys are Southern. I live in Pittsburgh. Do you guys use fireplaces at this time of year?
No.
No.
It's a little
warm.
That
was kind of weird. He had that log cabin feel.
Do we still have Dave on here? I haven't heard.
Yeah,
Oh. Okay.
I'm just sucking it all in, boys.
Okay.
But, yeah, what was so fucked up about that, though, is that, like, he made that video the day before his brother, which is just fucked up as much as he is, the day before his brother's birthday.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. And, yeah, I was talking to CK online when it happened. I said, dude, I'm actually checking out TMZ.com to see if they put anything about it on there. Because, I mean, I figured, you know, they'd at least put something on there. But
I think they did, like, the next day. They put something up the next day about it. But, like, I don't know if he just didn't get enough attention as a kid or what the hell the deal is.
I don't know. I mean, the cat seriously got some fucking problems. And, I mean, it sucks because, I mean, I think he was an all right wrestler. He's, you know, pretty talented. I mean, I marked out for those TLC matches back in the day with him and his brother. But I mean, he's got some serious fucking problems. And I mean, and then Jeff does too. And they're bringing him back on the road in TNA. So,
yeah.
Without you guys thinking I'm being an enthusiast for both of them, I really hope they both get it over with. Really, I'd like to see Jeff Hardy get back to WWE. There's no reason you should get a fucking world title push and then be in a fucking low-grade 400-seat selling fucking promotion. Jeff Hardy, I can talk shit. He wasn't at the pinnacle that Jeff was at. And some things I like about him. No, if any one of us, like I was saying last week, I made like a fucking joke. Like if one of us said something, it's like taking away. It's not going to be taken as seriously. When he says something, people are like, it's fucking crazy. But I got to give it to him. He's getting fucking 200,000 views almost an episode. The Hardys are still big business. They got the white trash trailer park community. And I'm not trying to talk. They got those little fucking kids in the fucking little towns or whatever. Like, they got them down, man. I mean, Turtle Creek is the kind of neighborhood that would support a Hardy. Like, that's where I'm from. Like, I think that this neighborhood would be, like, really invest in them. But he needs to get rid of his wonky eye. He got, like, that weird Shawn Michaels eye. And he just needs to get over Lita. I really hope he retires from wrestling, and I just really hope he's not full of shit, because, dude, I've done it. I go, I'm like, guys, I'm going to sober up. I'm going to be a brand new person. Guess what? I'm not. I'm a fucking drunk. It's enjoyable.
I just want to know what's up with Matt Hardy's, like, hairstyle, too. I mean, I know, like, Rob Van Dam's still has that same hairstyle too, but like, really, is that still fucking popular, that hairstyle with the side shaved off into a ponytail?
Crater, what you have to understand is Amy Winestone probably fucking died with that stupid ass mascara on her eyes. What these people become when you're famous, you become a caricature of yourself. You're not even a normal being. You can't get a crew cut after having a high top fade. It's like you become this person that has to be the same person always. Hulk Hogan cannot grow past having the goatee and the blonde hair. He can't. He can't just go bald head. Why? He needs to. Bruce Willis did. But now Bruce Willis is the bald guy. But sometimes he gets a hairpiece like Samuel L. Jackson. Whoa! I'm all over the place. I'm all over your face like toothpaste from gay guys.
Good. But I thought it was funny, though, with Matt Hardy posting the response saying his full-time wrestling career is over. Yeah, it was over like fucking 2 weeks ago when TNA fired your ass. I mean, that's the ridiculousness of it all. Like, of course he's not wrestling full-time. He's burnt bridges on both promotions. Like, what the fuck's he going to do? He's looking more like even more of an idiot now with the response video.
Guys, can you understand this?
Ended last year.
The most important thing, though, is how his peers feels about Al-Safi is in the ring. Don't you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look what...
Don't you... I mean, like... Jeff. Is he a fuck-up in the ring? Jeff, I feel, is a more dangerous threat in the ring.
Yeah, I think the whole TNA Jeff Hardy run is probably not going to last too much longer anyway. Like,
but I think we should all hope it is, because the other day I was saying next day the Angle Benoit Guerrero fucking WWE matches, and I don't mean to get off subject, but I was watching some of them TLCs. Bubba Ray Dudley's a fucking beast. That dude can take some fucking bumps. But They did a lot in those matches, and they should be appreciated. And they both had a decent run. Actually, I think PWI gave the Mattitude gimmick of the year, which is very, very surprising. I think that was in 2002.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, they both had decent enough, you know, careers. And Matt, I think, was the WWE ECW champion at one time, and Jeff was the world champion a couple of times. And yeah, I mean, it's sad what's happened to those guys, for sure. But I mean, I think I think Matt is in worse shape, because even if he does get off chemicals and all that, whatever he's taking, he's still going to be a crazy motherfucker, you know.
Yeah,
I think Rob, he likes the attention. But I mean, don't a lot of people like attention? I mean, I think you got, like, us all probably doing a Safeway. I don't know. I'm all about, like, being crazy. I'm not about, like...
I think there's certain things you shouldn't put up on fucking YouTube, though. Like, I think anybody in their right mind, like, you know, when he put up the thing about the entity tearing his house up and shit like that, that's fucking... you know.
So you guys all know what a pup... You got. I'll get right back to you, Dave. Man, this is what I want to say. See, because someone like me, I'd be like, fuck it, I want to do what I want. I want to do what I want, but... if I'm famous, someone should be like, well, you need a publicist. You need someone to filter what you want, because you're famous for a reason. You're famous because someone chose to let you be famous. So it needs to be filtered. Someone needs to fucking say, hey, you got to settle down this and that, these ideas. Quit putting everything on YouTube.
Right.
He has to have some proper handlers. And Dave Mania, was that you saying, hey, Ronk?
No, that was me. I was trying to get your attention. Did you say that, like, Matt got, like, what was it, gimmick of the year in PWI?
PWI or Wrestler Observer?
Oh, okay, wrestling, because I don't know, because, like, I brought something up on the board last night or something on the, during that whole, like, bullshit, like, people were arguing back and forth about Dean Malenko getting number one in 1997 in the PWI 500.
The thousand hold.
I said that he also got, you know, like, the best technical wrestler of 96 and 97 by the Wrestling Observer. And, but I was told that apparently the PWI doesn't matter, like, what any of the rankings mean. So, like, apparently Dean Malenko sucks.
It should all be considered. Am I a big Dean Malenko fan? I'm not going to say he sucks. I really liked his facial intensity. I don't know if that matters to you guys. I think he really brought a certain seriousness to the ring that I really liked. But in terms of his peers, I really thought that Jericho, Guerrero, and Benoit would run circles around him, personally.
Well,
not because he couldn't do moves.
I'll be sarcastic, because Dean Malenko is in my top 10 favorite wrestlers of all time. I mean, I think he's one of the fucking greatest wrestlers to ever live. I mean, as far as technical.
Yeah, but that, I mean, there's more. Yeah, technical wrestling is one thing, but I mean, he just couldn't bring it all to the table, unfortunately. I mean, he couldn't speak at all. I mean, they never let him have the mic, usually.
To me, it's like, what?
And he moved around in the ring, and I like Dean Malenko too. He moved around like a damn robot in the ring. He didn't have any sort of in-ring charisma going for him either.
So, well, CK, when you see that, and Chris, please don't think I'm picking on you. Christopher Daniels, do you see dancing with him and guys like Lance Storm? I just see a dancing, robotic type of technique they have.
Yeah, they're both kind of similar.
I don't see that, but, like, That's awesome, because I forgot about the whole phase that Lance Storm went through where he was dancing to the ring and stuff.
Dude, I wasn't even referencing that. I was just talking about
even his, like, Lance Storm even talked like a robot, Corey, though.
I was just talking about his coordination, how he coordinates moves.
Yeah, there's
my uncle pointed it out one time. I'm like, dude, yeah, I shouldn't be watching matches like it's a dancing match. I should be watching like it's an athletic contest or two guys beating the fuck out of each other, like they hate each other, like they, like, hey, you fucked my mom, I'm gonna fucking kill you type of match.
Yeah, I think that's why WWE never really caught on with the luchador. Like, and we'll talk about luchadors, of course, a little bit later on, too. Because it was way too, like, it was just spot, 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 spot. It was totally unbelievable. You know, it was like the dancing in the ring thing, like you were talking about. It's basically what it was. And it's just, you know, if you look at it and fans are watching it and they're used to seeing matches like, you know, WWF had at the time. And then you look at these guys in the ring basically flipping and flopping and doing all kinds of shit that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, that would never, ever really happen.
Yeah, someone can jerk off to Amazing Red all day. I'll take fucking Hooven to WCW,
had
big guys.
I think WWE was afraid of taking that risk, though, with the luchadors because, like I said, I've been watching a lot of these WCW Nitros from 97 this past week, and a lot of the matches they showed on Nitro at the Luchadors involved Super Calo, and there were like matches he had where he would like jump to the outside of the ring and like land in the first three rows like of people and like take out fucking little kids and shit.
I think WWF did it smart. I mean, when they was, you know, when WCW was doing the whole Luchador thing and he's bringing people in from Mexico and they'd be bringing, you know, people in from Japan for the cruiserweight division. I think WWE did it smart because, I mean, they had a guy, you know, Taka Michinoku, you know, he's a light heavyweight champion. I mean, the guy was a high flyer, but, I mean, he was a good technical wrestler and he got over with the fans. He didn't have spots. You know, I mean, he had spots, but it wasn't like a spot fest every time he wrestled.
Hey, fellas, you know who could have been a fucking champion out of every fucking legit, like, Chris Jericho wasn't a legit cruiserweight in my mind. He was big. Tajiri could have been a world heavyweight champion if promoted well. I don't know if you guys see what I seen in him, but he had so much motherfucking charisma. That dude could have been given the Great Muta gimmick because he's spitting a fucking mist.
He was fucking the shit.
Yeah, the man.
And you know what? I'm mad I didn't put him on a top 50. That dude was an ECW highlight.
Did Jerry have a world title match in ECW against Taz at one time?
Probably.
Living Dangerously?
Probably did, yeah. Because he was a heel there for a little while. I think I remember that kind of.
He used to have a program with Regal.
Tajiri was over, man, in WWE. I mean, that was amazing how over he was at that period.
And they would have been, like, because he was a mid-card ECW guy, WWF could have did something with him, man. He had fucking grappling skills, kicks. He was like a low-key kind of guy, the intensity. But on top of low-key, he had the funny guy charisma.
Yeah, but, I mean, the thing is, a lot of the times I've noticed that if the star isn't created in WWE, they don't give a fuck. I mean, there's only a couple of exceptions, like Chris Jericho and Eddie Guerrero.
Because Chris Jericho only got a United States run. It's so weird how, who was it? Lex Luger. Lex Luger, I mean, if in a state of mind, when you're looking at Lex Luger, who he was from 1987 to 1991, and when he gets that push, when he's the weightlifting guy, and then he gets the push to the All-American, and he's lifting up Yokozuna at that fucking, the Who Can Slam Yokozuna thing, if you guys remember that program. How didn't he get that push? He had the fucking metal arm plate. Lex Luger was a very, 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 very well-written character. How didn't he get that push?
He was a WCW guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty redundant, and I shouldn't have kept talking.
So let's talk about WCW. I know this is what Crater's licking his lips wanting to talk about. I mean, it's his...
Crater, you cunt. I'm just kidding.
And just to, I guess, start the timeline off, and there's a couple people that, you know, wanting us to do like a timeline of NWA from 1980 or fucking Mid-South from 1975 to 1976. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I wasn't born until 86, so fuck you.
Yeah.
No. Here's the thing, people, for everyone listening. You have to be at least open-minded. I mean, some people have, like, okay, say if Uncle Bill was doing the show. The motherfucker has a kid. People have jobs. People have parents. People have a life. People have different hobbies. CK has a fucking horror movie show that he does every week. We can't just archive every day to prove that we're the biggest marks in the world. It's not going to happen like that. My job on this show is to analyze how I feel about wrestling today and the things that I've actually witnessed in the past and the things I pick on by myself. If someone really wants me to see something, if you want me to see a Mad Dog Vachon match, sure, send it to me. I won't watch it, but send it. No, I'll watch it. He had half a leg. But go on, CK. I'm very sorry. Hey, actually, guys, I'm going to get a coffee, so actually I can stop talking for once, and maybe Dave Maney will speak up. You know, I'm kidding, Dave. I'll be back. We'll get a coffee.
All right, buddy.
Okay, so we're going to start this. We're going to give a little bit of a timeline here so we can at least know where we're at. We're going back to 1995. Set everything up. Do you guys remember, I don't know if Crater was, I don't know how old you were, 9, 10 years old?
I was 9 years old.
Were you aware of the first Nitro? Did you watch it when it happened?
I was watching, because I was already watching, WCW Saturday Night. And, the main event and stuff like that.
What about you, Dave Mania?
Yeah, I was watching it. I believe, we didn't have cable back in the day, and I had to, so my grandma had to tape it for me, so I saw it, later on that week. But, yeah, I watched it, definitely.
Yeah, interesting thing that I remember, though, is, the year 95, I was out of watching wrestling for the first time since I was a little kid and hadn't really watched Raw or anything for at least a year or so, I'm guessing. And I remember my dad was telling me about this. They're going to have this live wrestling show that's on TNT. WCW is doing it. And I only watched WCW hardcore from 1991, 92 to 93 was my favorite year for WCW. I have no clue why. But I remember the whole concept of a live show intrigued me because they were going to do it live every damn week. And that was something that WWF didn't do at the time.
Well, just when, like I said before in the past, I was a huge, huge Sting fan, so I'd already watched him in the past before, so when I knew that, like you said, WCW was getting a live show and I was going to be watching him, they were going to have this every week, and I was going to be seeing him even more on this live show. I thought it was going to be really cool, because he was the United States champion at the time, too, when they were going to debut that, and I just remember when they debuted it. It was really close to my birthday too, because I debuted it September 4th, and then they debuted it in this huge fucking mall, and I just remember it looking really weird. What the fuck?
Oh, but that it actually looks amazing on the retrospective documentary when Luger comes out. It's a kind of a cool look, just in retrospect. I'm not saying at the time. Luger walking out, and you got Bischoff, who's this? It's just an odd look.
Get the camera off him. She's trying to make it seem.
It's the competition guy.
And I don't know if you guys remember, though, and this is a smart aspect of it, too. The first Nitro, I think WWF was off that week because, tennis tournament or something like that. They always had that shit on USA,
Or the dog shit.
Yeah, and so they, they'd have wrestling fans that would be surfing around, and maybe they could catch this new show, and it was a good idea. And I the whole idea of doing it live every week, too, I think was really smart, because Raw would have one live show a month, and then they would tape the rest of their shows that same night. So it was one Raw they would do a month, pretty much, and it'd be a 5-hour show or something.
Hey, CK, what's up, Dave? No, but CK. No, Dave, you go. I'm always talking.
Oh, that's right. I said that was smart by Eric Bischoff because, WWE or WWF at the time, they didn't have a show that day, and all these fans are saying, oh, fuck, where's my wrestling? I ain't watching this tennis shit or this dog stuff. I mean, they're going to turn over and say, oh, fuck, what is this? This is Hulk Hogan. This is so-and-so. This is so-and-so. I mean, yeah, I mean, of course, you know. But, you know, that was a really good really good move by Eric Bischoff.
Hey, CK, how old were you around 1996?
I would have been, I was 15 when the show aired, I think.
15? Like, because, I mean, believe me, I wasn't reading any, I guess they would be called dirt sheets, but I never read dirt sheets. I guess it'd be LordsOfPain.net in 1999, tops. When I saw fucking Scott Hall on the show, and he was called Scott Hall, I had no idea Razor Ramon had a first name, Scott. I'm like,
yeah.
But no, I'm watching it, it's like,
well, it was the
and,
same.
You know, I'm just clipping through, because I was like a WWE loyalist, kind of hardly in WWE or wrestling. I was like, believe me, when you're in your first year of high school, you like meet new friends and shit. It's like a different transitional period. And I'm like just a casual viewer, witnessed the Hulk Hogan thing live. I never saw the Hulk Hogan thing live, to be honest.
Before we get into the NWO thing, though, there's a couple weird things. Like, there was a good, probably about 8 or 9 months of Nitro before the NWO came along.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Mongo when he was a commentator, or like when they brought the Renegade into WCW. You remember the Renegade?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Everybody thought it was Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
They would do all this shit, like, when they brought the Giant in. Of course, this is a little bit before Nitro. Like, they were claiming he was Andre the Giant's son.
they said that?
Yeah.
God, they used to be corny. Jesus Christ.
But there was a lot of fucking horrible shit WCW was doing in, like, 95.
The Kevin Sullivan era?
Yeah, I was going to mention, like, I think it was, like, an uncensored pay-per-view or something.
Yeah, that's when the Renegade debuted.
Well, I'm talking about the triple-decker cage thing that they did. You remember that?
Yeah, at least it was ambitious. Like the alliance to destroy Hulkamania or something?
Yeah, where they bring in all these fucking, like, they brought in this guy called, I think he was called Loch Ness. And I'm not shitting you, man. That motherfucker was like 800 pounds.
Yeah, he was fucking huge.
Yeah, he was like, not only was he like 800 pounds, but he was also looked like he was about 60 years old. So you're like,
also,
what the fuck
is
this?
They brought in what's his name? He's a no-holds barred.
Yeah, they called Zeus. They called him, I think they called him Z-Gangsta.
Oh, Christ.
Z-Gangsta.
Here's the thing. I think Hulk Hogan was still wrapped up into the old. I mean, in Hulk Hogan's defense, he sold out WrestleMania 3 with a spectacle. So he's always looking for that spectacle. WrestleMania 2, King Kong Bundy. He wasn't trying to do programs with Paul Orndorff unless it was on Saturday Night's Main Event. He would do a Saturday Night's Main Event with Bad News Brown, a regular like street brawler guy. But it was always with a fucking cartoony guy, except for Macho Man. But Macho Man was animated enough.
Who was the...
Uncensored we were just talking about. Are you sure that wasn't 96 is Uncensored?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was. I think it was Uncensored 96.
Okay, because I was just now thinking, because I think at 95's Uncensored, Hogan fought Vader in a strap match.
Was that any good?
No.
I never saw that.
No. Those Uncensored shows were, like, fucking awful. Like, I remember... I used to actually like them just because they were so bad. They were, like, fun to watch. Like, that fucking triple-decker cage match, Runk, you need to fucking... Like, I'm sure that's on YouTube. You need to check that shit out. That was just... I think that was on WrestleCrap, too, wasn't it, Crater?
I think so, yeah.
And there was another dude I was going to ask you about. I think his real name was Jeep Swenson. Do you remember, what was his character's name? And like, he was the ball-headed dude with the real big fucking, like, arms. I can't remember.
Max?
I can't remember his name. But
that was his name?
I know his real name was Jeep Swenson.
Was he part of the Dungeons of Doom?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think there was a guy in the Dungeons of Doom just called Max, M-A-X-X.
Maybe that was him. I don't know. But there was...
Yeah, a little tiny head and a big, huge fucking body.
You know, contrary to popular belief and a lot of the stuff that WWE or, you know, whatever WCW put out before they folded, Nitro wasn't really an instant hit right away. I mean, WCW, much like WWF, they were struggling, man. I mean, they did, had a lot of strange shit going on in both shows. It's funny to look at now, you know.
Hey,
we got to talk about Halloween Havoc 95.
Well, this is, yeah, I mean, we can talk about it if you want to. I mean,
I just wanted to mention, like, I mean, we've talked about it before, like, the stuff with, like, you know, the monster trucks and Giant being thrown off the building.
Oh, no!
But, you know, like, I was looking at the card of that, and I forgot that Sabu fought on that pay-per-view.
Yes, that was like, Sabu was in WCW for like, what, about a month?
Yeah, and the funny thing is he fought, well, at the time he was known as Mr. JL, and he was under a mask, but with that, he's, you know, it's actually Jerry Lynn. And I just thought that was pretty cool, because, you know, those are both ECW guys, and, well,
yeah.
Sabu was had already been in ECW before, but, you know, Jerry Lynn would go on to be in ECW later on.
Hey, when did they bring RoboCop in?
RoboCop?
Yeah.
Well, that was many years before.
Yeah, that was like 93, 94.
Okay. That was pre-Nitro. Okay.
Yeah, that was like, I think that was like Capital Combat or something, whatever year that one
came out. Yeah.
That's WCW's downfall. They were trying to get cartoony like WWF, and they outshocked them. Vince McMahon knew how to promote a character and make them feel real. Sometimes it would be silly, but Shockmaster, a bunch of these, like Oz, a bunch of these characters look very, 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 very cartoony and very uninspired.
Yeah. Well, if you want to go on forward, though, and Runk mentioned the whole Scott Hall thing, and that's really when they brought, like, they kind of got rid of the cartoony bullshit that they were doing. And made it, you know, they gave everybody pretty much their real name. Mm-hmm. They wore street clothes or black, you know, nothing real colorful or anything like they did before. And much like, I think the Scott Hall thing when he first appeared was very similar to what CM Punk did a couple of months ago, right?
It's better. It's better than what CM Punk did.
Yeah, but I mean,
it worked longer. The program worked better.
You know why it worked
longer?
Anyone
that doesn't admit that's crazy.
That's what I was going to say, though. Why it worked longer is because WCW never really went anywhere with it. It just lingered for fucking 3 years or something before they finally I mean,
It fizzled. The thing I want to say about Scott Hall real quick about Scott Hall, I'm very sorry for stepping over your words. Scott Hall is slow talking, quick wit, and everybody has to admit that. That dude is sharp.
He was.
He's just a very sarcastic dickhead.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I mean, I would watch the way they set that up. It was like you knew it was a storyline, but there was that part of you that just didn't fucking know. You know what I mean?
I think it was at a time though where a lot of people didn't know if it was a storyline or not, because was a lot of people didn't have the internet. They didn't keep up with, you know, in that time period, 96, in early 96.
CK, I mean, I'd never been on the internet in 96.
And I remember Pro Wrestling Illustrated at the time, a lot of their magazines, you'd see, you know, dream matches. Somebody, you know, in the 80s, you'd see Flair and Hogan, who'd win, WCW versus WWF. So it was an ingenious idea, and it's a shame that they, you know, the only thing is they never really had a long-term, I mean, it was, in the end, a long-term plan, but it never really had a payoff, it never had a resolution or anything, and that's unfortunate because it was an amazing angle, probably one of the best wrestling angles that you know has been in the last 20 years or so.
And if Scott Hall would have been clean, even back then, I don't think Kevin Nash was he's a specimen in the ring, but Razor Ramon was he is a very good put over guy. That dude could have been such a major. If you put him at the top of a storyline, putting fucking faces over at a time with an NWO angle, which he probably was, but he was doing it to the outsiders, it would have been major.
And he was always over. I mean, it don't matter where he worked at. When he was in WWF, he, you know, it was Razor Ramon. Everybody just fucking loved him, you know. Or he drew so much heat that, you know, he was doing his job. You know what I mean? So, I mean, he was a total professional wherever he worked. I mean, besides being a fucking drug addict.
He has my fucking respect for what he did in the ring. And
oh, yeah, ESPN, definitely.
When ESPN does that show on him, I really hope that he comes out on top. Because I think it'll inspire people and make other people think it's possible. Because that, if there's a bottom, CK, you guys can all agree with me. Do you think he hit bottom?
Do you guys
think he hit rock bottom? Do you think he's gonna die?
I think he's to the point of being almost to the bottom. I mean,
I know, because there's a lot of people around here that have similar issues and stuff like that. It's just such a rarity to have somebody that's been that messed up for that long where it actually ends well. Like, I'm not saying it won't happen, but the odds are definitely against him.
Mm-hmm.
But just for those listening, I don't want you guys to think I'm getting on my soapbox. I got a buddy, Tom. I remember the first time he did cocaine, he said, I can do this once a week, probably. He never did drugs before. He ended up becoming a heroin addict. Now he has a daughter. It's 10 years. He's like 6 years sober. So people can change. You just have to really want to change. I don't believe in programs, really. It's all about you inside and like what you want to do.
Yeah,
I'm not going to stop drinking unless I stop drinking. A program's not going to make me do that. I have to.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, I don't think it can't happen. It's just, I mean, he's got, like CK said, he's got the odds against him. I mean, I work at a hospital. I see it every fucking day, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's crazy stuff.
Like I was saying, it's one of those deals where he's just been at it for so long, you know, and he's tried so many different times, how many different rehabs he's been in and stuff like that. At the end of the day, like what you said, Runk, I mean, he has to want to, you know, fix himself. I mean, you
CK,
can...
I mean, I hate myself because I interrupt people all the time, but you saw his videos, Last Call with Scott Hall. Don't you think those were good videos?
Yeah, sure. He's an entertaining guy.
He's a nice, nice, fun guy. Even when he's a dick, you're like, oh, this guy might be uncomfortable. He's entertaining no matter what. Him sitting in his living room with Larry Zbyszko with Papa Face is fucking entertaining.
Is Crater still on here?
Yeah, I'm on here.
Okay.
You son of a bitch. Crater, you better talk, you son of a bitch. If you don't talk, I'm going to get pissed.
I mean, I just kind of like, I mean, I've talked about this the whole thing with Scott Hall and being fucked up. I mean, it's just like, what else is there to say about it? Like, I really don't have any other opinion on it than anybody, you know, any different opinion than anyone else does.
Do you guys want to know what's ironic? I don't even know if this is the meaning of irony. It's probably not, but why do major, major, major wrestling stars not die? Macho Man had to die from a natural cause, which was a heart attack, before he got in that car wreck. But it's like Jake the Snake. He talks about how he's such a damaged person, he does all this stuff, he doesn't die. Louis Piccoli's fucking in, what was he, late 20s? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, he's
young,
a piece of fucking garbage with drugs. But it's just amazing.
It's like Lance Cade. I mean, Lance Cade, how old was he? He just died recently.
God, was he juiced.
Well, I mean, it was, what did he die of anyway? It was like pain medicine or something, like overdose, I think.
That's why I'm telling people, they like all these, and I know, again, no offense, I don't want anyone to ever think I'm singling out. I don't like the major bump matches. I don't like them. You know, I do like them when you're watching them, but when you grow up loving these guys and you appreciate them and you see motherfuckers dying on pain pills, Jeff Hardy has tingly legs. It's because he lands on his ass. He does idiot moves.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys don't have any other option. I mean, they didn't go to college or anything, and they don't think they want to keep making that good money. But they, mm-hmm. you know, they, they shouldn't be, like, if Jeff Hardy's got tingling in his legs, he probably shouldn't be out there doing anything. So, anyway, onward to the NWO. Like, to me, this was the, in 96, like, probably about May 96 to, you know, February, 98. March 8. Now, with me, I'm a little different. I think the NWO thing was great for about 8 or 9 months, and then...
Okay. Fair.
You know, and then it got a little where everybody and their fucking brother was joining the NWO and stuff like that. But I want to talk about the summer of 96 when Hogan, it was Bash the Beach, came out and, you know, leg dropped the Macho Man and joined with the Outsiders, which was definitely another major thing that nobody saw coming, actually.
I mean, there was so much. I mean, the fans' reaction to that was just. I mean, you haven't seen that before in professional wrestling, because here you had a guy who, you know, the last 15 to 20 years was a face, and here he comes, you know, and.
It looks so predictable too, and it worked so much.
Yeah. I mean,
what I like too is Bobby Heenan was actually the first to say something like, "Oh,
yeah,
which side is he on?"
It.
You know, which was great for Bobby, because Bobby Heenan always hated Hogan, you know, and it kind of made Bobby Heenan more of a face commentator, too. I don't know if you guys noticed that after that point.
Yeah, because he's walking down the rev, and Bobby Heenan says, "But whose side is he on?" And Dusty Rhodes is, "What are you talking about, baby?" Or something like that.
You shut your mouth, daddy.
And it's funny, because when you watch it in retrospect, you're looking at it, because I didn't see it live. I'm looking at it like, man, he's spoiling the shit out of it. If I was watching it back in the day, with how the audience reacted, there's no way even with him hinting, you wouldn't think Hogan was going to do that. You might slightly think it, but you wouldn't think he was, you know?
Right.
You wouldn't truly, okay, Hogan, babyface since 1980 fucking 4? Come on.
Yeah. And it was like, Nitro blew up after that point to me. I mean, that was a must-watch show there for a while. They actually had their, I remember when they had their Nitros at the outside, like at the MGM.
At Disney, yeah.
Or whatever it was, yeah. And I love those Nitros. And I think I heard a story that, like, they got kicked out of that place for something like, I think there was an episode where the Outsiders had baseball bats, and they were, like,
The one where they threw Rey Mysterio head first into that trailer.
Yeah, and where they had like street clothes and shit on, the police didn't know, you know. So they had like backstage had guns pulled on them and shit.
Now, if that happened, I mean, who looks like?
But
Kevin
if
Nash?
I could just go back 1 second to like when we were talking about, you know, when they first formed the NWO at Bash of the Beach, like. But the funniest thing about that to me was when, you know, when they're in the ring giving the speech and Hogan's telling the fans to stick it and shit. Like, everyone in the whole arena is going fucking ballistic and, like, throwing all kinds of trash in the ring. And, like, Mean Gene is trying to dodge all this shit the whole time. And, like, everyone is just, like, booing their fucking asses off. And then there's just one guy in the front row, like, clapping away the entire time, and he's wearing an ECW shirt.
Yeah, I remember that.
hey, guys, can I make it's kind of like a character type of study thing, because I'm a pretentious faggot. Hulk Hogan's transition into heel is probably the most subtle transition. And you guys can think, oh, he's being so over the top as a heel. But he instead of him being like, he had the same intensity as, yeah, brother, take your fucking vitamins, is like, you can fucking stick it. Like, he didn't say fuck. But it was very, very smooth. But do you understand what I mean? Like, it was the similar Hulkster character, except heel. Like, he was a totally different guy, but very similar, and it worked. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Hulk Hogan rakes backs.
It didn't.
Who rakes backs? That's genius.
It didn't take too long, though, before the NWO was kind of like the bad guys that you love to cheer for. you know, and it seemed to happen more and more.
Like every time they would, like at the end of Nitros or whatever, when they would, you know, if they were in the main event, the Outsiders or whoever was in the main event, and the rest of the NWO would run to the ring to save them and like get disqualification, like just these fans would rise to their feet and just fucking go crazy, just cause, you know. And there would be, you wouldn't hear a fucking single boo because there's just so many cheers for the NWO.
Yeah.
It don't matter if you was like a huge Sting fan or a huge Macho Man fan. If you went to a Nitro, you bought a fucking NWO shirt. I mean,
well, it was the cool thing. Like I was in high school at the time, and it was the cool thing to walk around if you had an NWO shirt on. You were the coolest motherfucker.
Yeah.
It seemed like NWO. Stone. Cold in high school. I thought the Sandman one in my high school was like, oh my god, this dude got a Sandman shirt. That's fucking rad.
Yeah. Well,
I couldn't get like one of the official NWO shirts. I had an NWO shirt.
You got the one at the flea market.
I couldn't get one of the official ones, so I had to go get one of the fucking flea market ones with like the puffy letters on it, and when you put it in the dryer, it fucking came off.
No, you were with Keanu Reeves, and you fucking went in the time machine to Joe Garcia.
You know, the one thing that's funnier than shit, though, and I don't want to talk about the Wolfpack NWO yet. We'll let Crater talk about that. But I will fucking bet anybody, any amount of money, that if you go to any independent wrestling show, you will see one shirt. Somebody will have it on. It's a fucking NWO Wolfpack shirt still to this fucking day. Somebody will have that damn shirt on any wrestling show you go to around here.
Exactly. That or an Austin 316 shirt.
Yeah. But some other stuff that happened. What was that?
I said I'm fading in and out here.
Is that your goddamn fucking cell phone?
I'm not on a fucking cell phone. I think it's something to do with Skype.
Oh, you got Skype now? You do sound a little better.
No, I'm not on Skype. I don't know.
Who was fading in and out? Because I didn't hear Runk for a little while, but he came back in.
Have I been cutting out?
You cut out once for me, but
These goddamn faggots better be listening to me, because I'm a fucking top-notch radio journalist.
That's right. you want me to try to call you back, Crater?
No, I think I'm good for now.
Okay.
You sound good.
What's some other moments, though, Crater, you want to bring up around that time period? Because I know that you...
What, 96?
Yeah.
The Mysterio one was major, so...
I guess, yeah, they started...
Yeah, Mysterio's debut, definitely, because, like... Because I didn't start watching ECW until probably... Because I don't think I was introduced to ECW until it came on to TNN.
Uh-huh.
And then, so when Mysterio showed up in WCW, I was like, holy fuck, you know, and that guy became one of my favorite wrestlers in all of wrestling at the time.
Another thing I was thinking of, though, and I don't know how much you guys think about it, but like, how much do you think ECW had with a lot of the choices WCW was making at the time? Because they got a lot of guys from ECW, actually. I mean, even more than the luchadors and stuff.
WCW had the money. ECW definitely had the luchador idea. And it definitely had the hardcore idea. And I'm not being self-righteous, because I think WCW used those characters very... you guys probably disagree. I thought they used Raven's character well. I don't think he was in tremendous feuds, but I thought they gave him interesting mic work. And I think Saturn was a good mid-card, deservingly so. He's not a fucking champion guy, despite how much I like him. I thought he had a good mid-card thing. So I thought a lot of their guys were used well. They placed him good mid-card while Hogan and all them had hogged the spotlight, but maybe got the ratings. So,
well, Paul Heyman to this day hates Eric Bischoff. And it's because deep down in his heart, he thinks that Eric Bischoff stole the cruiserweights from ECW. And, you know, I mean, legitimately, yeah, he probably kind of did, but you can say the same thing about Vince still in talent, too. That's just the way business is. That's just wrestling.
Well, it's the thing. Like, there were people on the message board talking about Hulk Hogan was stolen away from fucking Vern Gagne or something. I mean, it's business, folks. I mean, whoever's got the most money, who... You know, nobody is stolen away. It's not like somebody kidnapped Hulk Hogan and forced him to come out to Madison Square Garden for WWF. He came there because that's where the money was. I mean,
did Hogan do some things dishonorably when it came to a contract? Yes, but the bottom line is AWA, in retrospect, at that time, and I'm abusing the word retrospect on this episode, but at that time, it's basically just a fucking territory. Was AWA blowing it up? They had tons of characters, but they all got. If they were such good businessmen, they would have kept some of them, and they would have had contracts lined up. And that's why, because all them guys left, that they locked the Rockers in a fucking 2-year contract.
Yeah.
In 1986 to 88, I think.
But yeah, I mean, WCW, that's the thing. They had deep pockets at the time, and Ted Turner was like, he didn't give a fuck, evidently. He's like, get whoever the hell you think will do good, you know, and the sooner. Then later, what, WCW had probably about 70 or 80 luchadors signed. They were like, oh my God, like, me and Crater were trying to think of some of the more obscure ones. I mean, there's tons and tons of them.
Yeah, like, yeah. Parker,
what?
Vivitude Guerrero.
El Dandy.
All the luchadors?
Yeah, all the luchadors.
What about Liz Mark Jr.?
Ciclope, yeah. The Vianos, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Do you remember the moment when they wouldn't give when Dean Malenko was feuding with Chris Jericho and they wouldn't give him like a cruiserweight title shot, so he had to go into the Battle Royal disguise?
As who was he? With a mask on?
Dean Malenko was disguised as Ciclope.
Oh my God, I thought he was La Parca.
That was DDP.
That was DDP. Yeah, that was a cool moment.
Yeah.
But there were a fuck ton of those fucking luchadors, though. My God.
Yeah. Even though, like, I know Runk brought it up, and he doesn't consider him this person I'm about to mention, a cruiserweight. When they brought Chris Jericho in, dude, that was it for me. I fucking loved it. Jericho's character on that was just fucking phenomenal. He drew so much goddamn heat. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, I pretty soon I was just turning in to watch Jericho for the most part.
Dude, Jericho's his U.S. Title reign and everything leading up to that, I don't care what anybody has to say. Until Chris Jericho with the short hair, with his self-righteous heel thing he did in maybe 2008, I forget what it was, that's his best shit ever.
Yeah.
WCW is amazing. Y2J is good. WCW, when he called, he's like, Raven, you get back here, you loser. I don't know. I was attracted to Chris.
I think you always get U.S. and the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title mixed up.
Did I say Intercontinental?
You said U.S. because, like, I think that's the only belt that Jericho has never held is the U.S. belt.
He didn't have that? I could have swore he did, bro. Or unless he just had.
Because I was looking at his page the other night, and he's never held that title.
Oh, so he just had.
It's probably the television title or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had the TV and I guess the cruiserweight.
He had the TV title, yeah.
There were so many fucking titles in WCW, though. That's another thing. Like that, I think that's where all the title shit came from initially. Where like WWE has got like 12 different belts now and. Because they, like, towards the end in WCW, and we'll talk about this too, they were fucking, they had all kinds of shit. Like the cruiserweight tag belts.
Yeah.
Hey, all you faggots listening that are a bunch of fucking little dorky ass marks for little wrestlers, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But WCW had the most relevant lightweight belt of all time. Shit on them all you want, think Bischoff's a ripoff. WCW's cruiserweight division is better than any lightweight division in the history on television. I don't have Ring of Honor, so I'm not going to be so biased and self-righteous to believe that Ring of Honor is not capable of put out better product.
One pay-per-view that I definitely wanted to mention on here that I know, I think me and Chris was watching some of this not too long ago. I think it's one of the best WCW pay-per-views ever, actually, and that's a pretty big thing looking back at, like, because WCW, I think, was also one of the first companies to to bring the monthly pay-per-views in. Halloween Havoc 96, which has some amazing matches in it, like pretty much top to bottom.
Sorry.
But someone comes through like,
You don't agree?
I'm sorry, but yeah, like, I'm like, fuck yeah, like, it had Savage and Hogan in the main event, and then, you know, like, Piper came in as a surprise at the end of it.
Yeah, that was the big thing, too.
Yeah, that was an amazing pay-per-view.
And they had, it was a really good match, I think, with Six-Pac, I guess what they called him at the time, and Jericho. And then there was another one, I think it was Malenko and Mysterio, and I think it might have been like the opening match. That was a fucking killer match right there.
But yeah, the, that was because, yeah, the Malenko Mysterio match in 96, and then that was that when, I'm trying to think if that was when, like earlier, like a Nitro or something before that, Eddie ran in the ring or something, and was... And stole, that was a year later. My bad. We'll get to that later.
He stole Mike Awesome's mullet.
What's the thing though, Mike?
There was a feud like between Eddie and Ray where he stole his mask and then like they had a mask.
I honestly think though, like, and that's why I've always said, like, I don't think that the WCW really had that many great pay-per-view events because they were really focused more on fucking ratings. I mean, that was just, and I think Bischoff even admitted that in like various interviews and stuff. So you didn't, it seemed like they were almost building stuff on the pay-per-view to happen on Nitro, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, their pay-per-views were like old WrestleManias. It was like, oh, this guy's fighting this guy for what?
Yeah, you'll see that later on, you know, when we talk about Goldberg.
Goldberg's amazing, by the way. He should be top 50. I don't care.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Goldberg fan, but for that run he had, I mean, he was the only, like, homegrown WCW guy from that era, which is fucked up if you think about it.
I hate to argue this with you, but that Mongo beat Goldberg, but he fucking never did.
I always like to think Mongo beat him, baby. So, let's see. What did they have? They had the Starrcade that year. I don't remember too much about that Starrcade. I think it was Hogan and Piper.
Hogan and Piper. Piper won, yeah.
Was that bad? I bet it was.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It was a non-title match.
Yeah.
Oh, because they're so into their characters and their business, they're afraid to lose to each other. I'm like, Piper. You just fought Goldust.
But since Piper won that match, like later on in 97, the Super Brawl pay-per-view in 97, like, since Piper won that match at Starrcade, that earned him a title shot at
and
Super Brawl 97.
And Starrcade is supposed to be your big show of the year.
Dude, that Starrcade DVD sucks.
World War III was obviously the Royal Rumble of...
Oh, that was a clusterfuck.
Yeah, the WCW was kind of messy. Even scaffold matches in retrospect. I'm like, you just got people doofusing around on a fucking, like... Like, I'm like, what are you guys, fucking labor workers? I'm like, what the fuck? Get the fuck off of that.
Well, if you guys remember the World War III show... Well, I explain it to the people out there. It was, what, three rings. You had, what, 60 wrestlers in those three rings?
Macho Man won one.
They would bring in guys that didn't even work for WCW just to be in this match.
Like Ricky Morton would be in or something.
Don't knock Ricky Morton with his fucking...
Well, no.
I love Ricky Morton. It's just so funny because, you know, we could see Ricky Morton now and... The fucking guard
down the
street.
That is if he isn't in jail.
I live and see Ricky Morton wrestle.
Old Chris. Yeah. He got the best mullet, worst teeth.
That mullet, man. I almost
think
it's a fucking wig.
Called Marlowe's, and Ricky Morton used to hang out there.
But, okay. Moving on. Let's see. We're in, what, 97? We're going to probably, Crater will have to help me out with a lot of this stuff, because this is when, like, I remember one thing that nobody talks about, because it was never released. This event was so shitty, it never came out on video, was the sold out pay-per-view.
Oh, shit, I love that
from pay-per-view. From 97. You can love it, but you can understand why they didn't use it, because it was like, wasn't it completely in black and white or something?
It was just like really, really dark, and like I have it on DVDR, and like it's like the.
I watched that one on live on pay per view, and when I was watching it, I was like, "What the fuck is this?" You know, because it was like in a wasn't even in an arena, Crater. I don't even, like. I remember it being really small wherever they had it.
Yeah, and then there's the most hilarious thing during that pay per view is during the Six and Eddie Guerrero United States title ladder match.
Whoa!
And,
that awesome?
It is an awesome match, but what's so funny is that there's a guy in the crowd that's just because the crowd is for some reason crickets during that match.
During the whole show, really, man.
And then there's just like one guy, you can only hear him amongst everyone else going, "Eddie is a faggot." Like, over and over and over again. Like,
now,
the entire
match. Would you
trade
that? Would you trade that for anything in the world at that moment? That is fucking awesome.
I don't remember, anything
also,
from that show, though.
All someone got to do is be like, "You fucking suck, faggot." And I'm like, that's the best. Raw's good this week if someone does that.
I'm actually looking some of the stuff up on Wikipedia. I don't remember any of this shit. It's funny they had the battle between the American males. It looked like.
And that's a great thing too, because when they were on the WCW guys that were participating at that event, when they would come to the ring, they didn't have their entrance music. They would just there was just a voice over the going, "Loser. American loser," or some shit, you know,
Don't you think it's weird?
That fucking pseudo NWO voice that they always did in their interviews.
Because they never released this on video, and it's just the one thing. There has to be some reason. I think it's a horrible show, actually. But still, there's a lot of them that's horrible that they put out. Halloween Havoc 91 out on video.
And do you remember they did the Miss NWO pageant in the show?
I kind of remember that. I think this is a good example, though, of the behind-the-scenes going-ons, I guess, at the time. Because you didn't have, Vince McMahon was the boss in WWF. You really didn't have that in WCW. The boss was never there. Ted Turner was the big guy in charge of everything.
And in WWE, you hear Johnny Ace, you see all their agents and backstage guys for a year. You know Vince is running the show. But now it's soap opera writers or whatever. But WCW was such a fucking wreck. It's what was it? Kevin Sullivan, Kevin Nash, Dusty Rhodes, Ole Anderson. It's fucking rotating bookers, man.
Oh, yeah. They just threw any shit on the wall and, whatever stuck. And, I think that's what, pretty much was their downfall later on.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know what you guys think, but I think ratings, they had already, to me, had better shows top to bottom, pay-per-views and Monday night shows than WCW, even though it was about a year later before they finally beat them in the ratings.
Yeah, I agree.
I was in Pittsburgh watching Bret Hart versus the Patriot or some shit in 97.
I can't keep track of a lot of stuff that happened around this time. Whoa.
CK.
Yeah.
You there? I felt like you were talking.
I'm getting some static.
I'm getting static, brother. I think it's Runk's headset or something with.
Are we good? Do you want me to hang up and call back?
You're good right now.
Sound
all right.
Sound good.
All right. Sorry, guys, for the bad radio.
So,
it's all right, brother.
Just skipping around a couple things, I guess. I mean, you guys can bring stuff up, too, if you want to.
Yeah, I wanted to bring, because, like, someone, I can't remember if it was Ronk or Dave, they mentioned Kevin Sullivan booking.
That was Ronk.
You know, okay. Like, I just wanted to bring, like, you know, '97, at least I got, to my knowledge, it was his the year he retired from wrestling. You know, and just like one of the most intense feuds I've ever seen.
Him and Benoit.
In my life. Him and Benoit, because mm-hmm. you know the guy booked his own divorce, basically.
Genius. And, you got to do that shit, man. He's relentlessly intense. Go on. I'm very sorry. I
and,
appreciate it.
You know, it's just like that shit was like some of the. I mean, the greatest match I've seen between the two was when they brought Jacqueline in as Sullivan's manager. And I can't. It was some kind of like death match that they did. And woman and Jacqueline were strapped to each other, and so Benoit had Sullivan on top of a table, and he goes to on the turnbuckle to jump on top of him, and then Jacqueline tries to cover Sullivan, but Benoit just jumps on both of them and nearly breaks Jacqueline's fucking back, and it's like the most insane. One of the most insane matches I ever seen in WCW. Like that feud was just so intense.
I bet it wasn't as crazy as Benoit versus Seed. I'm sorry.
That's wrong.
You talk about, you know, WCW about that time. I mean, if we're talking about the '97 era, I mean, you got to start thinking Goldberg too. I mean,
unbelievable. Him versus Hulk Hogan. The build up. What was that, a year plus?
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing was, I mean, we was talking about, you know how the pay-per-views, Eric Bischoff wouldn't book a pay-per-view. He would always book for a Nitro.
Yeah.
I mean, that fucking thing was fucking free.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember Goldberg was, like, mostly built up in 98, though, because like, they didn't start, like, you know, bringing him into, like, towards the end of 97.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just fucking feuding with Mongo at that time. He had several matches with him.
Do you remember when he stole his ring?
Well, when?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, over a fucking ring.
Yeah.
And like,
it was Mongo's Super Bowl ring, baby.
And like Debra tried to hire Goldberg to take out Mongo, and then like at Halloween Havoc or Fall Brawl, one of those pay-per-views, before the actual match, Mongo took out Goldberg with a pipe or something in the bag, so he wasn't able to participate. So Alex Wright had to take his place.
My name is Russell Lennon Rudder, and Stephen Mongo McMichael, or whatever the fuck his name is the least marketable wrestler of all time. How the fuck was that guy? You got your stupid-ass ponytail, terrible uniform, pageant wife.
He was funny, though, man. Like, I did enjoy when he was actually announcing on Nitro for some reason.
Because you're
a fucking
Mongo.
Hillbilly.
Mongo is, to me, the worst wrestler that ever lived.
Aw, oh, fuck.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I think he's...
How that guy was a fucking horseman, I will never know. I mean, I would put Paul Roma over Mongo any day of the fucking week.
I wouldn't at all.
Paul Roma could work. You guys are crazy. In ring? He was decent.
No, he wasn't. Paul Roma.
Way to no sell me.
Paul Roma was like the epitome of what we were talking about earlier. He was like the robot that couldn't work. Like he was like Dean Malenko. If
you
Dean Malenko worked like fucking, who's that son of a bitch we always talk about and make fun of? Oh, yeah, Mark Henry.
I thought he was pretty wonderful, man.
He was.
But you know, like when they did Ric Flair's retirement thing in WWE. when they brought out all those guys, and, you know, Benoit wasn't out there, obviously, because he fucking killed himself and his family.
Damn, I was hoping Benoit.
Team Malenko and Arn Anderson and all the other past horsemen. Where was Mongo?
Where was Ole? Ole wasn't there.
Sucks.
Ole wasn't there either.
Ole's a little bridge burner. I heard fucking Arn don't even like him. He's a little, he's kind of a little shady with his booking, and I think that kind of turned off some of the horsemen guys.
Yeah. But, I don't remember what the fuck we were,
we're at Gold.
When did they introduce the Sting Crow thing? Like, was that in 96?
I'm 96, 97.
Well, like, the whole thing with Sting, you know, started with in 96, actually, because, like, when, you know, because the NWO tried to mess with WCW, trying to turn WCW against Sting by, you know, introducing their fake Sting, and then it all started at Fall Brawl in 96, and then Sting revealed himself to be, you know, it was just all a ploy by the NWO, and then, you know, he just told him, well, you guys don't fucking trust me, or whatever, you know, it's not what he actually said, but he's like,
I don't think he said anything, he just showed up one week.
He's like, you guys, you know, he said the same thing that Hogan said at Bash at the Beach, so you can stick it, you know, and then, like, a few weeks later, they had, like, that fake Sting, like, wrestling on Nitro, and then the real
it was like
Sting
Brandon Lee's replacement in Crow 2.
And he was, yeah, he came out there with the Crow, and he spoke for the last time, he goes, the only thing for sure with Sting is nothing's for sure. You know, that was the last word.
I'm sure that was never planned that way either. They were like, oh, it'd be cool if you just shut up.
Here's the thing about Sting, man. He wasn't over with me. I'm like, dude, is this dude ever going to wrestle? He's just sitting in the rafters. But the crowd fucking bought into it every time.
Yeah, the sad thing is,
I did, because I was a huge mark for him anyway. And then when they were just pulling that shit week after week, like, especially this one time I remember in particular, like, when they had like an army of Stings coming out to the ring, like, and the NWO was like beating the shit out of each, like, one Sting come out, like, and one member of the NWO would beat the crap out of him, like, and then they would fall out of the ring, and then one came in, and like they all had like those Crow Sting masks on, and like wigs, you know, and like Buff Bagwell hit one. And then he didn't go down, but Buff Bagwell turned around, did his little dancing pose shit, and then, like, he just does the Scorpion Death Drop on Buff Bagwell, takes the wig and the mask off, it's the real Sting. And I'm just like, holy shit, you know, it's fucking Sting! And he just clears house.
The problem is, though, with that whole thing, and it was built up, it was the best build that WCW ever did, because they weren't really known for building up anything. They couldn't, like, where Sting didn't wrestle for so long, and they finally wrestled at the Starrcade that year. That match sucked.
Yeah, it was.
Like, that was awful.
Yeah, I mean, it really did. God damn, it sucked.
Because his character was so cold, too. Like, he couldn't have the charisma in-ring, like, psychology-wise to get the crowd into the face, because he's, like, a face with the star character. Like, back in the day, but, oh! Like, he didn't do woo, but didn't he do, like, an owl type thing?
Yeah, he did, like, a howl.
Yeah, well, I mean,
somebody mentioned on our YouTube comments before, like, the match that he had with Hogan, and I think it was a Super Brawl in 98, like, the next match they had for the world title. That one was, like, a lot better than the Starrcade match.
Yeah.
A lot better.
Well, they fucked up the ending of the Starrcade match, too. Like, I don't know what the deal was with that, but, like, Nick Patrick, I think he was supposed to count quick or something, and he didn't. He counted, like, the regular three counts. And then, like,
it just looked normal. He was supposed to be fast, but it just looked like a normal three count.
Yeah, he probably picked the wrong spot in the match. He probably didn't pick
it
again.
That was just, yeah, legendary WCW. I mean, typically, actually.
Did he die of cancer?
Who's that?
Nick Patrick?
Yeah.
No, that was Randy Anderson, I think, was the one that
I know that other referee in WCW died, Mark Curtis.
Yeah, he was referee for Smoky Mountain, too.
And a WWE one died, didn't he? Like, in the 80s, like, one of the WWE refs, like, he looked like he was in his late 20s.
Oh, let's see, yeah, I think it was Gorilla Monsoon's son, died in a car wreck or something.
I forget.
But any other memorable things, you guys, from 97 that you can think of?
Yeah, there was one thing.
DDP Savage.
Sorry. Yes, there's that, too. Go ahead and talk about that, Ronk.
Shit, I don't know. I was sitting at home jerking off the fucking black girls. The fuck? I just heard the match was fucking dope. I sort of, believe me, like, it was the Goldberg shit, 98, and, like, WWE. But I heard that match was good. I used to watch them at my friend Squid's house.
That whole feud between Savage and Paige was just, in 97 was just fucking crazy. Like, you know, like, we already mentioned, like, when, you know, Savage had a match with La Parca at one point in 97, and it turned out La Parca was actually DDP in disguise. their first match that they had was at Spring Stampede, which was an awesome match. And then they had a match at American Bash. Last match was Halloween Havoc 97.
Yeah, they had a few matches I remember on pay-per-view. They were like, that was like the main event on a few of those shows too, I think.
I think they had feud of the year in a lot of the little dork scenes.
It was the main event for both I think Spring Stampede and Great American Bash. But like, I wanted to say that my favorite match of all wrestling, my favorite match of all time took place in WCW in 97, and that was the Eddie Guerrero Rey Mysterio Jr. match at Halloween Havoc 97.
I think I saw that.
I think
the Eddie Guerrero disc.
Something that a lot of people, it's not really a match, but a lot of people talk about it on DVDs and stuff like that, was the whole, they started doing the spoofs, and WCW definitely started this, where they were making fun of Arn Anderson. The NWO was, the funniest thing, I always thought the funniest one was Conan dressed up as Mongo.
As Mongo.
It looked exactly like Mongo, like just a miniature Mongo. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was right before Fall Brawl when they did that, because when they, the Horseman did the actual thing with Hennig, with Arn Anderson saying, you know, giving him his spot or whatever, and then the NWO, like, they did a parody of it with Nash being Arn Anderson, and he goes, I not only give you not any spot, not my dog spot, not a liver spot, but my spot.
And they got a lot of heat for doing that, man. I mean, that wasn't something that was funny backstage to the Horsemen. I mean, they took some heat for doing that, actually.
They did that more than once, too. They did Nash, they did that, like, later on, like, in either 99 or 2000, because, like, Hogan, they did another bit like that where Hogan dressed up as Flair, and I'll have to send it to you, or posted on a Retro Wrestling Night Facebook page, where Hogan dressed up as Flair, Nash dressed up as Arn Anderson again, and this was like when David Flair was with the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
And that dude had
no charisma. He's a loser.
Scott Hall was dressed up as Roddy Piper.
I don't really remember that one. That must not have been as funny or something.
It's fucking hilarious. You gotta see it. It's almost better than the original one they did.
Is that when Rick came out and got in David's face and said, "If you want to be a superstar, I'll call Vince McMahon." Is that the part where he, you know?
I remember something that's completely unrelated, where like Scott Steiner was talking about all the girls were watching Stone Cold or something. Do you remember that?
He was like, you guys fired Stone Cold or whatever. But
when David Flair, that they do that little bit I was talking about, and like David Flair sitting there, I think it's like Tori Wilson is like sitting on his lap or whatever, and then like Kevin Nash as Arn Anderson is like just keeps like is like slobbering like over top of her and stuff, and like she just keeps knocking him down and stuff.
And the sad thing is, I guarantee Arn can go in the ring and perform better than Nash till this day.
He's an
athlete. That dude moved like a fucking athlete. Nash
should just be a comedian.
I get scared for Nash when he walks to the ring. He looks like he's going to blow out a knee or something.
But goddamn,
because Kevin Nash is a funny guy. I'll give him that. I mean, like, he's a really funny guy. But like, I think he would have been a better comedian than a wrestler.
I think he did a good job and. With what he did. I mean, the guy's a fucking specimen. I can't believe how big he was.
Yeah, he's a huge guy.
Next to Triple H, it's like, dude, he makes Triple H look like a
bitch. Yeah, see, there's a picture that Crater took with him. You can see it. I mean, you know, because I've been around Crater, and he's a little bit taller than me. Crater looks like a fucking little kid next to him.
Yeah, the guy's huge.
Crater, what are you, 6'2"?
6'3", and like, if you go on my personal Facebook page and look at like the pictures of like all, because I have like an album of all these wrestlers that I met.
You should tag all of them on the retro wrestling thing so everybody can see it.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, you should. That'd be awesome.
And like this picture of me and Kevin Nash, like this guy, like CK said, he makes me look like a child.
Yeah, I mean, he's a total, like, you're, like, at the, not even at the tip of his shoulder, really.
And, Crater, that's what I was talking about the other day. Like, you might have thought I was getting shitty about Henry, about who can beat who in a fist fight. That probably stemmed from something I heard Kevin Nash. He's like, something he said one day. He's like, the Marks used to watch the business, and now the Marks are in the business. So he's talking about these little guy wrestlers, but he's talking about how... wrestlers used to be tough guy attractions. Now, they used to just be barrel-chested guys, but then in the Vince McMahon era, it became either steroid guys or just big guys like him. And the nice thing about him, he wasn't some goofy... Some people about, oh, he's unathletic, but he wasn't El Gigante or whatever, however you said his name. He had an interesting thing for a couple
years. Just say Giant Gonzalez.
Okay. God, that's the worst gimmick ever. Did Harvey
Gonzalez was brilliant.
Yeah, Harvey Whippleman never fucking managed to champion.
Yeah, like, definitely do a worst gimmick show at some point. That'd be funny.
That sounds good.
Need to probably go into like 90 and keep going.
Yeah, because we're only at 97 now, and we've got a ways to go.
Oh my God, we 2 hours in?
Yeah, almost.
Think of fucking pumpkins on the strength. I'm gay.
Celebrities that they brought in. We could mention that. And
Yeah, like Carl Malone, Jay Leno, Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
David Arquette. How can you forget David Arquette, the guy who ruined WCW?
And maybe at this point, guys, because seriously, like, I can't, you know, I know Crater's been watching this stuff. I can't remember month by month the pay-per-views and shit like that. Maybe just talk about some of the big things that happened from this point on.
Well, I think Goldberg winning the title. I think we kind of mentioned that. And
that didn't even happen on a pay-per-view. That happened on a Nitro.
Yeah, that had happened on a pay-per-view. That happened on a Nitro.
Yeah, and I think they didn't even announce it until that Thunder.
Yeah.
It happened in Atlanta, in Goldberg's hometown.
With the Georgia Dome. Yeah.
Dude.
And it was because, like, what they did was, like, he had to face Scott Hall, like, earlier in the night. And he beat Scott Hall. And then if he beat him, he got the title shot against Hogan later in the night. So, obviously, he beat Hall. And then he went on to face Hogan. And then when he beat Hogan, oh, my God, that place erupted.
I mean,
it's over, man. And you know what I respect Eddie Guerrero for? And I might have said this on the show before, how much he stuck up when Goldberg, I mean, Goldberg's run had to come to an end, and Kevin Nash is a big guy, so I don't know if he wrote the fucking shit or not, but Eddie Guerrero sticking up for Goldberg and the business and making every, because when your guy's on top, if you fucking if you scar his character to the point of no recovery, nobody else makes money. You understand what I mean? You got to have your lead guy not get buried.
Not get got.
Yeah.
I just want to mention before we go any further that, like, you know, going back to 97, like, I'm where I said I'm watching, I'm in order right now in the Nitros of 97 and the pay-per-views. I'm at that point right now where Mike Tenay just went to Mexico and he's doing those statements Nitro of Lucha Libre and the Mexican Luchador.
Telling the history about Lucha.
Yeah.
God, I've always hated Mike Tenay, by the way. I just wanted to let everybody know that.
I guess I liked him because he was, like, calling out all the moves and stuff. He wasn't the typical Schiavone, like, journalist type. He was actually a mark. So
WCW just had some of the worst announcers, though. I mean,
who was that bald guy?
Scott Hudson. He actually wasn't as bad as, like, Mark Madden, man. Oh, fuck.
But do you remember when they had Stevie Ray as a commentator?
Yeah, barely.
No, they did.
You guys know Mark Madden's from around here, right? He got fired from a Pittsburgh radio show.
Well,
you ever listen to his, like, go online and read his commentary, Mark Madden's?
No.
I think he's an interesting guy. He's kind of shock jock.
He's a shitty announcer, though, man. I could not stand listening to him. Like,
no.
I loved it when Tank Abbott beat the fuck out of him that one, whatever
showing
it was.
His lard and all that?
Yeah.
But Mike Tenay, you know, like, it's just so funny because they would just always bring him out most of the time on the pay-per-views when they had, like, the Luchador matches. And because, like, Dusty Rhodes and Larry Zbysko had no idea what these fucking moves they were doing at the time were called. And Dusty would be like, oh, what's that called, baby? And that's a one-to-one redundle, baby. Because you remember, that's a moment that we got to fucking bring up. During Jericho's run in WCW, when he was feuding with Malenko.
Gilbert.
And
When he
brought out the list of moves.
Yeah,
on toilet paper.
Then
he was just going, armbar.
They took a break.
Armbar.
They went to commercial. And, like, he was still reading the list when they came back.
But, you know, one thing we forgot about Jericho was when he brought out fucking Ralphus.
Yeah.
Ralphus.
I wonder what the fuck happened to Ralphus.
I can't believe I got mixed up and I said Gilbert. I'm such a fucking idiot.
He always had Ralphus, but then, like, at the beginning he had Ralphus and he had this other guy that said Jerichoholic Ninja on his shirt. and he had a mullet and he wore sunglasses.
You know,
he must have got rid of that. And I found out that, like, later on that Ralphus was a truck driver for WCW, and that's how they found him.
He definitely was.
The thing that made Jericho realize that he had to leave, though, was the whole thing that the Goldberg feud that he had. I don't know if that just started up because he started saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Or what, but, like, it ended with just a squash match on, like, a Nitro or something, didn't it?
And CK, to go back to what you were saying earlier about surprise wins, he'd be the perfect now, he shouldn't have carried the company, but Jericho, because he's such an antagonistic heel, that getting under somebody's skin, even though fans probably liked him because he had a likable quality, but they probably would have loved if Goldberg lost to him and then beat him, you know, a transitional kind of run
that would have been.
Two months.
I agree with Russ because I definitely that would have gained Jericho so much more heat if he would have been the one that broke Goldberg's streak.
It would have never happened in that company though. I mean, anybody that watched that company knew like nothing like that ever really happened in WCW.
Jericho, and I'm very sorry if I'm stepping over some of it, but I just wanted to get this out that Jericho is one of the best. Think about all the different things Jericho has done in his career. He's played with different characters. He's been the funny heel. He's been the hokey heel. He's been the mid-card guy putting on exceptional matches. He's been at ECW. He's been a warrior in the ring. I mean, the guy is incredible, and his fucking latter heel run was comparable to JBL's heel run.
Yeah, his last like heel work that he did in WWE, like where he was wearing like the suits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that was based, where he got that character, he based that character off of, right?
Go on, I don't know.
He based the character off of the guy from No Country for Old Men.
Oh, the sociopath with the fucking weird haircut?
Javier or whatever.
Javier Bardem?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I was like, wow. Because like, I never knew that, but I was, like, reading, like, this the Wikipedia page for Jericho, and it said that he based his character in WWE when he off of that.
Personally, I didn't think it was cool. I thought he was more, like, a self-righteous, like, he was calling the fans, like, sycophants, like, that like the Kling, that he was calling people like Klingons and stuff. I thought that was interesting. But before we get off topic about WCW, the one thing I didn't want to steer off of is the importance of Booker T before his latter title run, when the title didn't really mean anything, when he had the television championship. He had interesting matches against both Rick Martel before Rick Martel had a career-ending injury, and I believe Chris Benoit. What, did they have a series of seven?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't forget Saturn either.
Oh, he fought Saturn. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, when he was having those matches with Martel, he was also...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Saturn came in later. And I think Saturn came in impromptu because I posted that one match of Booker T and Rick Martel on Retro Wrestling Night, Jeep Plug.
Oh.
And he fucking hit his leg off a cable. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, that was the reason behind Martel. Well, that's not when he had to retire right after that, but like he had to take off for a little bit.
There was a lot of people that got injured on the trap door for Ultimate Warrior. I remember hearing about that.
Who did?
Like, there was a bunch of people that got hurt because the ring had a trap door in it. And, like, it was, I don't know if the trap door was made of something other than what the ring was made of. They would, like, fall on the trap door. And
like, WCW was bad at stuff like that. WWF, legends. ECW, legends. They don't fuck up their ring. Like, when they have a rigged ring, nothing fucks up.
Something else that totally fucked up WCW, too, and I think that's when the ratings started going down for them and up for WWF. Is when they introduced, like, Nitro was 3 hours after a point.
Yeah.
Every Monday, it was 3 hours long. And yeah, like, Thunder.
Inferno versus Scott Riggs or some shit.
Yeah, they introduced Thunder, which was another 2 hours on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. It's like, and in addition to the other shows, they had, like, 2 hours for WCW Saturday night. You know,
isn't it funny how they blueprinted WWE, though?
Yeah, but even then, like, back then they had way more hours of television than WWE has now.
Mm-hmm. Well, WWE has the Saturday night still on NIFNARF. What's that, WWE.com?
Nah, they have the Superstar Show, they have NXT.
Oh, I've never seen an episode of that, ever.
Yeah, I don't watch it anymore. It's on the internet. But
I hate to get off track, but just speaking of superstars real quick, like, I posted this on Retro Wrestling Night, too. Like, I just think
Facebook.
It's funny that this week on Superstars, that R-Truth had a match against, another match against John Morrison and, on Superstars, and that, you know, that whole feud has went from being a pay-per-view match, you know, pay-per-view potential match to just like a million matches on Raw to a feud on Superstars. And I just think, like I said on, you know, Retro Wrestling Night, like what R-Truth said, it's a conspiracy against him. It's the truth.
So, okay.
I was just going to say, like, we're about to probably move on. Like, once it goes past 1999, like, when they got a couple of the ECW guys in, or Mike Awesome, once Vince Russo hit, it got a little too messy, man.
Yeah, when the Russo came in, and, yeah, it was
like, new blood or whatever, which,
yeah.
He'd always make something that would look intriguing. I'm like, dude, your writing just doesn't, when you write something, you got to stick to your fucking guns.
I can remember, though, like, because I was talking about this show before on another episode of what we're doing. They had this show called WCW Live that was like a show similar to this, but it was WCW like employees talking about wrestling. And when they had hired Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara were the two main writers that they had hired from WWF, to them, it was the end. They were like, these are the two guys that caused, you know, WWE's boom recently. Now we've got them, and it's going to be the end of the game. You know, we've won. And that was their mentality. And looking back now, that's so fucking hilarious because, like, maybe they did help with a lot of those ideas and stuff, but at the end of the day, you had to have your have a filter there, which evidently was Vince McMahon, that, you know, told them what was good and what to do and what wasn't. And
exactly. And what's funny is, like, you know, like Hogan, before he started working with TNA, when they did this, like, a Hulk Still Rules or whatever DVD, I can't remember which one it was, which one of the Hulk Hogan WWE DVDs it was, but when they were, like, interviewed, he says on there that he believes when he was working for WCW that Vince sent in Vince Russo just to sabotage and humiliate WCW.
It certainly seems that way.
I was like, if he fucking believes that, if he really truly feels that way,
I wonder if
then why is he working with the guy?
I wonder if McMahon sent him to TNA.
Could any of you guys do a Vince Russo in imitation? I can't. But I'm sick of all the pollen. I can't do it.
The thing I noticed, though, he's just like a New Yorker, uppity, northern piece of shit.
we didn't even talk about, like, the wolf pack and stuff tonight, but I don't even really want to talk
it's
about
too
it.
Messy. It's too messy. Yeah,
I hated the wolf pack.
I mean, Scott Norton was probably in the wolf pack, and I don't even know.
Well, it's like, we didn't mention this, too, but, like, there were more people in the NWO. Like, Dusty fucking Rhodes was in the NWO at one point. Dusty Rhodes. Really.
And we didn't even mention Raven's Flock either. There were so many different factions going on in WCW.
Yeah, Raven's Flock was interesting. Especially
Vampiro and ICP.
Oh, and Lord. The Misfits. The Misfits were with Vampiro at one point in WCW.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we were going to
talk
about
Vampiro.
I thought we were going to talk about the Misfits in action.
Well, they did that too, but I was talking about the band, the Misfits.
And do you guys know that G.I. Bro was a Booker T character in, like, early 90s?
Yeah, global.
I can't believe that. Because when he was that, I was like, God, is that borderline racist? Like,
but, like, the big thing that Russo, I guess when he started out, the big feud, I think, that he built to was, what was it, the New Blood versus the Millionaire Club or something like that?
The Millionaire's Club, yeah.
God damn. That was his big thing.
Like, I mean, they just had, like, everyone. It's like you never knew if Sean Stacy or whatever his name was. They had so many different factions. Or he was, oh my God, I think Vince Russo invented that whole, like, segment, in-ring segment bullshit.
Another thing, too,
Sean
like...
Sean Stasiak was also meat in WWF, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know, he was there longer than that, because I remember they'd bring meat out there, like, week after week, and, like, he was with that group of, like, Terry Runnels and them called TMS, and then...
that was a shitty period, too.
Like, fucking him before his matches, and, like, he'd come out there all, like... Like, he's worn out, and, like, as soon as he gets in the ring, he gets the shit beat out of him.
WWF at the time had some really shit. I mean, that was awful. I think Vince Russo probably put some of his stink on that shit.
I remember having a Nintendo 64 and then having, like, you know, WrestleMania 2000 for Nintendo 64 and seeing me as a playable character on there and being like, what the fuck? Who wants to be that guy?
What if I had Beaver Cleavage on there, too?
Well, he was mosh on there. So.
God, was he actually juiced, though? God damn.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, I've not heard anything about that fucking guy, so who knows? I think he's still alive, though.
He's probably built, like, a target somewhere.
Yeah, for fucking Ric Flair to shit on.
He's probably fishing with Scott Putski somewhere.
what are they, sons of famous wrestlers?
Yeah, they're both roided up, or they were. the thing, another thing about Vince Russo, though, and Ed Ferrara, actually, both of those guys, nobody knew who the fuck they were, and they were becoming on-air personalities. Like, I'm sure it was Vince Russo's idea to be like, kind of like the Vince McMahon character for WCW.
Yeah, even Vince Russo gave himself the world title at one point.
Mm-hmm. The crazy thing, I think the dumbest thing, I mean, it might have not have been, it looked kind of fresh at the time. He created that, like, he was really doing the in-industry shit for the marks.
Yeah.
Like, for the people reading, like, shooting backstage segments, like, with a room not looking like a room, it looked like a studio.
And it was, like, it was a clash with what the WCW fans wanted, too. Like, he was... Like I said, he's a New Yorker. He didn't understand because WCW primarily was a Southern wrestling promotion. You know, the fans, let's face it, I mean, Crater, a lot of people around here have never even turned on a computer still to this day. And there are a lot of the people that would go to those shows.
And then this is shit that he was doing, like, still kind of sticking to this day just because, like, I really like put down like divas matches and stuff a lot, but like the only female that I really was, because she was never really a wrestler, is Miss Elizabeth. You know, I loved her like growing up and stuff. And like Vince Russo just constantly tried to humiliate her during his run in WCW, and he was just like trying to get her to like do stuff like, you know, strip down to her bra and panties.
To eat his ass.
What?
And to eat his ass.
I think she was a character written for weak-minded men. She had no personality. I don't give a fuck. She can get raped by fucking 10 brothers in Harlem for all I give a fuck.
Don't go that far.
No, but what I mean is, like, she didn't have that much personality. She never. The WWE fucking wrote her real well.
Something else though about Vince Russo that I was remembering, and I think it was a Bash the Beach, where they did the big thing. They did this a bunch of times in WCW, but this was actually live on a fucking pay per view, where Jeff Jarrett, like, jobbed for Hogan, literally like just laid down, and then they had this big shoot thing after. And, like, there's a big lawsuit and stuff that came out of it and all this.
God, so it was real? It was definitely real?
No, it was real. And you can watch it. That's another one you can watch on YouTube.
I remember when this happened,
Russo was, like, cussing like crazy on pay-per-view. And you got kids in the crowd, stuff like that. It's a Southern audience.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, I swear to God, you're never going to see that son of a bitch in here again or something like that. And
I got his passion when he was doing that. I was watching it. But I'm like, dude, think business. You're not thinking business when you make Jeff Jarrett a like, I thought it was fresh when I was watching it back then. But I'm like, I think Mike Graham is like, Jeff Jarrett never drawed flies.
No, wow. Jeff Jarrett's never main event guy.
Exactly. I mean, he was.
He drew heat.
Yeah, I mean, back in, you know, in the USWA and stuff like that, I mean, yeah, he was the main top player. But, I mean, that was just in his little territory. So, but, I mean, the guy can't draw shit. I mean, as far as, like, fans, I mean, and he honestly thinks to this day he's, like, a big top star. And he's
Mexican,
not.
Whatever. You know, his best run was his shit with China. Just good drawing heat, beating women type stuff that I kind of enjoy.
Towards the end, in WCW, he was busting these guitars that were made of, like, styrofoam.
Oh, they were so bad. The one he hit Mae Young with on the OMG, like, little thing that they just showed, that guitar is so much more solid than the little fucking free lunch thing that he was hitting people with.
Yeah, it's like the guitars that would blow away in the wind.
CK, do you know the thing behind Halloween Havoc 99 when Sting fought Hogan for the world championship and then Hogan laid down for Sting?
Oh, Christ. What's the lay down bullshit?
It happened a lot. I don't know. I mean, what was the story behind that one?
Mm. Look, I just, Because I don't really remember if that was a work or not, because I just remember on that event, Hogan, it was Hogan versus Sting for the world title. You know, Sting was the champion at the time, and Hogan came out there, and I think Hogan wasn't even in his gear. He was just wearing street clothes, and he just laid down for Sting, and Sting pinned it, and Sting was like, you could tell, I don't know if Sting was cussing,
guys,
but you
right
could
tell
he was really fucking mad about it, though. And then, like, later in the night, he had to have another match for the world title. He fought Goldberg for the world title.
Right. Well,
And Goldberg beat him for the title.
I don't remember this shit at all.
It,
I don't know if I just
Halloween Havoc 99. Check it out.
I don't. Maybe I completely missed that pay per view or something, because I don't remember any of that.
It got to the point where it's so hard to remember shit because it got so bad that you didn't even watch it, and then you would tune in and it'd get a little bit better, and then it would just drop. It's kind of like TNA right now. You know, it gets to the point where it's so bad you won't watch it, and then you'll tune in. And it'll get a little bit better, and then the next week it's like, oh my god, here we go again.
Yeah.
And you know, we've talked about Halloween Havoc a lot and stuff, and how awesome like of a legacy it left, like what a great pay per view it was, what a great themed pay per view it was. But like, it just sucked because like the last Halloween Havoc, the main event of the very last Halloween Havoc. Was Goldberg versus Chronic in a handicap elimination match?
Chronic. I fucking hate Chronic. God, those guys sucked.
What are you guys talking about, man? I just took a piss and I was looking for wings and I forgot I was drunk at the bar and
I was talking about the you know how we've been putting over like Halloween Havoc and how what a great theme pay per view it was and like. I mentioned it sucks that the very last Halloween Havoc pay-per-view, the main event was Goldberg versus Chronic in a handicap elimination match.
God, dude, WCW, man, they were one of their last pay-per-views. I don't know if that might have been it. I think I was reading that to Ed now that you bring that up. I was like, dude, what was up with that? They had like three handicap matches on that pay-per-view or some shit.
Yeah, because a lot of the towards the end there, a lot of the guys that like, I think it wasn't too much longer that Goldberg injured himself and he was out for like I don't know how long,
mm-hmm.
and like Sid broke his leg.
Yeah, that was vicious looking.
You didn't have hardly any main event guys. I mean, was actually
Sting and Flair were on their way out. Sting was like. Sting works more nowadays than he did back then, no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, Flair was still there. Scott Steiner was there. Diamond Dallas Page was there towards the end. And those were pretty much the main event guys, I think.
I think Macho Man got too roided up and he couldn't fucking perform anymore because he was too chiseled.
I'm kind of looking on Wikipedia right now, and like some of these events, but I don't remember some of the matches. Like, I don't remember on some of these events. Like, the last... ever Starcade of WCW Starcade. The main event on it was Scott Steiner and Sid Vicious for the world title.
I kind of didn't Sid Vicious injure himself. Who did he injure himself against?
What was that? Was that the event where Sid breaks his leg?
Sid
might have been it.
I think Sid broke his leg. Who was he wrestling? What was the match?
Steiner. He was wrestling Steiner.
I think that was. It was, I think it's the, was it called the Sin?
Oh, God.
The Sin pay-per-view.
Was that?
That's the pay-per-view after Starcade. Let me
I think it was, because it was like January, because I remember like.
Did Sid fight Razor Ramon in an event called Sin?
No,
or Scott Hall,
were,
I mean?
Scott Hall was in ECW at this time.
The main event for Sin was a Four Corners match. Scott Steiner versus Jeff Jarrett, Sid Vicious, and Animal.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah, I remember this. Cause
the Legion, Road Warrior Animal. That's who it was. What the fuck?
Because Road Warrior, the big unveil was Road Warrior Animal. Like, he was like a mystery guy that just came out, and Sid had jumped off the rope, and like his. Anybody that's seen that footage, it's fucking nasty.
I wasn't watching WCW at this time. I just remember, I've seen that clip a ton of times where, you know.
I've got this pay-per-view.
Breaking his leg, but I don't remember.
This pay-per-view. I saw this live. I saw this pay-per-view live when it happened, because I remember, like, how grossed out I was. When Sid
was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I just remember I stopped watching WCW regularly at this point, because I was just sickened by what was going on.
I was participating in some illegal
direction of it, and it's just like fucking, you know, you have people on pay-per-view like Mike Sanders.
Anybody that had DirecTV around that time, I was participating in a little bit of illegal activities. And I got to watch, like, pretty much every pay-per-view for free. So that's...
Oh, Shane Douglas fighting General Rection in a First Blood match. And
yeah.
What the fuck?
For all the fans listening, the major thing that probably hurt WCW, which I don't like to put mad stock into people that don't have the best personalities in the world as far as characters go, but the truth is, losing Benoit, Saturn, Dean Malenko,
Jericho.
Losing those guys...
And Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, Jericho before that, and what's his name got left in the dust because he, I guess,
well,
Shane Douglas.
The Giant, when they lost the Giant, too, that was another big main event guy.
Oh, yeah.
He fucking opened up brilliantly. Day Massacre.
Look at all of these guys. Look at all these guys, how big they became later on. I mean, they were all main event guys, world championship. You know, all of them had world championships.
Even Chavo, because like they even like gave him a little EC, you know, like the WWE's version.
Yeah,
of
when
ECW,
he was Kerwin White.
Well, that didn't go on very long, but you know, they gave him an ECW title run. Like, you know, that was more than what he got in WCW.
No, but in WCW, he did get to build his character on television. A lot of people don't give WCW credit. They built a lot of these guys or gave them that platform. They might have been mid guys. Like, Chavo doesn't ever deserve a WWF championship, ever. No. He deserves to have that mid-card role and do a good job, be on television. Now he's what, like almost 40?
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to do, but...
big deal.
I read an interview with Chavo here recently, and he's talking about either going to Ring of Honor or TNA.
I think he's one of those guys, and, you know, I can understand it, I guess. If you're a pro wrestler, you're going to take it really serious and stuff like that. But I think that he thinks he's way more of a draw than he really is. I mean,
he shit on Cena, and, Creator, I read something you said about Cena. A lot of these guys do 10 moves, but I've also actually seen Cena in some pretty darn good matches as well. Now, on Chavo's defense, when he was bashing Cena, he's like, man, I put it in every day. It's like, I'm like, dude, he's looked generic in his matches, too. But I just think people need to ease up on, like, bashing these main eventers and just, like, let everyone have their role. You know, everyone just needs to have their role. If they got a role on television, they're not working at Boston fucking Market, you know?
But, yeah, I mean, to end
it... But I just feel that, you know, like, Cena, you know, like, that, he just got that because of... Not because of his skill, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has career, but he's athletic. I mean, Chris, you got to look at it. Like, I don't have any friends, not one, that has a build like him. And I know it might be steroids or the bodybuilding. The way he jumps in the ring alone, I don't know one person that can do that.
Oh, I'm not taking that away from him at all. If he keeps jumping like that leg drop he does off the top rope, as impressive as that is, if he keeps doing that, he's going to pull a Sid and fucking break his leg too.
He's a lot more. Like, Sid was one of those guys. He never got on that fucking rope. Do you ever remember Sid getting jumping off the top rope ever? I never remember seeing that happen.
He did a shoot interview where he said he's like, he was questioning it. He's like, dude, I don't do this bump. Like, I'm not comfortable doing this. Yeah. You're like, oh.
You'll never see it again.
Look it up, man. Look it up.
The last days or months, I guess, of WCW, though. It was really, like, if you go back now, it's really, really, it's interesting to watch. It's depressing in a way, though, because there are the people that are on top or the people they're pushing that you see on there are either really fucking old guys, like Terry Funk. They had Terry Funk on there, and they were bringing Dusty back to wrestle every once in a while with Flair and people like that. Or they were guys that were definitely not ready yet.
Yeah, like Scott Steiner, Booker T, and Jeff Jarrett seemed to be their triangle of people they were trying to push.
Yeah, and
you
then,
you mentioned Terry Funk, but they had Terry Funk feuding with Kevin Nash over control of WCW.
Oh my God, they just did a bunch
of stupid shit that never went anywhere, and it's just and you'd bring in like you'd have these stupid didn't they bring in who was the fucking guy that trained Goldberg and shit? That nobody.
Oh,
fuck.
He was the power plant guy. He was like
They would bring him in to like tag, like with Goldberg. Nobody
I like
gave a fuck.
Orndorff had his shitty looking arm.
And it's like they just did, the amount of people at these shows dwindled down. I was looking on the last pay-per-view, and I was watching some of it, and on Wikipedia it was saying, like, the attendance was, like, 5,000
or something. Still more than a TNA pay-per-view, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well,
TNA sells, like, they probably give away 500 tickets and none sold.
WCW in their worst day, though, is like...
They really do. Like, and I can't stress that enough, because they're fucking gay.
WCW was a touring promotion, though. That's the difference. I mean, you know, their last day, they were still infinitely better than anything TNA has ever done. I mean,
yeah, dude, did you guys see that? What was the pay-per-view called? Greed or something? I forget what it was called.
Yeah, Greed.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, the first match was, like, Kwee-wee, a homosexual character, versus some indie guy, I forget his name, Easy Money or whatever.
Yeah, he's Easy Money in ECW.
Yeah, whatever his WCW name was. But the match...
Jason Jett.
Oh, dude, the match was over as hell,
The
dude.
Match was great. That's what I was... Like, I was actually watching that the other day.
Unbelievable. Every match was decent. I was watching... I'm like, what has wrestling turned into? These guys all think they deserve to be champions, and they can't work like Kwee-wee.
Hey, Russ, did you watch that match that I posted today?
What, would I support something you... No, who is this? Is this Dave or Chris?
This is Chris.
I'm sorry, Dave, I'm listening. What match? The AJ Styles?
The one of Daniels, AJ, and Joe from 2005?
No, because I...
A great match.
When I went to go get wings, that's when I went and drank all day. I almost got in a bar fight, by the way. I told some dude
when you get time, you need to watch that match.
Oh, no, I'll watch it. I ain't going to be a dick. I'll watch it.
That's a badass match, dude. That's probably, in my opinion, that's probably the best match they've ever had.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, and I titled it that, you know, it's the greatest TNA match ever.
Did Samoa Joe's tits look better than Halle Berry's in Monster Ball?
Yeah, WCW, like, I gotta say, though, like, even though I think it, like Ric Flair said in an interview that it probably should have closed a year before it did, and I kind of agree, because, like, it was just a clusterfuck for that last year or two. It just didn't have any kind of structure or anything, and they were just having paper... It's very similar, actually, to what WWE has been doing lately. But WWE is a little more smart with their money. You know?
Vince Russo is the least of the problems because they're always consistently, the money that ran them was corporate. Best Buy, not because I work there, is going to go out of business one day. Why? Because they're a fucking corporate place with stupid-ass fucking rules and unhappy employees. It's not going to last forever. WWE is what was now they're public, but I mean they're the HNICs, head niggas in charge.
Yeah, and Vince still owns like 51% of the company. So
yeah, I mean Vince McMahon's a smart guy because like Dana White, a fucking legit fighting business, models,
his company after, like, Vince McMahon, even more than, like, say, like, fucking Don King or whatever.
Mm. That's smart. I mean, because no matter what, if you're into wrestling or not, if you're a fucking business person, you have to look at Vince McMahon and say, you know, that man right there, that's a success.
But guess what Dana White did? His employees, a dude got kneed in training in the face, hard as fuck, cracked his orbital bone.
Mm-hmm.
He got $50,000 worth of insurance to fix that. Vince McMahon don't do shit like that. Dana White has done that. There's people that think Dana White's a scumbag. His fighters have insurance.
But it, yeah, WCW though. Did you guys watch the last Nitro?
It was sad. Sad.
I mean, you didn't even have to watch the last Nitro. You could have been watching Raw and seen the almost exact same thing.
Because you mentioned that cruiserweight tag title earlier, like a week before they started that tournament, and then like the next week was the last Nitro, and then they crowned the cruiserweight tag champion on the last Nitro.
And
you got no-sold by CK. He's like, yeah.
that happened.
We mentioned the cruise.
CK, you jerk.
The cruiserweight tag titles is probably not a good idea anyway. But
I hate that shit. Might as well say I have a twat belt.
Actually, like WCW back in the day, like had the United States tag belts and shit.
That's what I mean. It's like, what the fuck?
I gotta say, like, yeah, I hated the fact, like, even though I was always rooting for WWF and was more of a WWF fan, like, really, and it's kind of corny to say this, but it's true, like, when they had the Monday Night Wars and stuff like that, the real winners of that were the wrestling fans in the heat of it, because it was like, it's something that we're probably never going to experience again, and it's real competition. And I think it made both shows better for a while. And unfortunately, WCW was the one that lost. But I don't know if you guys agree with this. When WCW folded, ECW folded all within a span of like 3 months there in 2001, WWF had like their most successful year ever that year. That was like one of their biggest years.
Yeah, and their angles could have been better to show that WWE wasn't perfect. I mean, even in the Vince Russo era, both shows are live. So when you're watching both, when you're a fan and a loyalist, you'd be like, holy shit, I like Nitro better than Raw this week. It happens some weeks.
I totally agree that, you know, that it was one of WWF's, one of their most successful years in 2001. When WCW and ECW, because they were waiting. People were waiting to see if anyone was going to show up in WWF.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course WWF fucked it up royally.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember when WWE, or WWF, I'm sorry, had the match between Buff Bagwell and who else was it?
Booker T.
Booker T.
Was it Booker T? Okay, that was fucking horrible.
It's Buff Bagwell's fault because Booker T can work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely.
That whole idea was stupid, though. Like, it was like the last match on Raw, and they turned it into WCW. Had the little WCW logo in the corner. Didn't they have Scott Hudson and, was it Arn Anderson? Was announcing?
Oh, no.
I can't remember.
I think it was.
God damn. It's so hard to remember that. I mean, 9/11 happened, man. I'm still sad about that day.
Yeah, we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of that.
Dude, I did I'm the one that did it. I'm just kidding. Jesus Christ, I'm going to get killed.
There's so many things that I wish I'd brought up, though, about, you know.
Well, it's just so much, though, man. That's the thing. Like, God, you can only cover so much in, like, two and a half hours.
Like, shit, like, you know, when Scott Steiner was, with Rick Steiner. It was like Scott Steiner and Buff Bagwell were teaming up, and Rick Steiner got Judy Bagwell as his tag team partner.
I wanted to reference her earlier. I don't know if I did. Fuck.
And then they did like a Judy Bagwell on a pole match, but instead of having a pole, they had Judy Bagwell up on a forklift.
It would have been funny if it was like Cannibal Holocaust or Die on the Air through a cunt.
But
shit that they did was so awesome. Like, this match that they had, it was towards the end of WCW, when Scott Steiner and Booker T were feuding for the world title.
I'll say.
And I think this might have been on the, actually, the last Nitro, when they had, like, it was like a four corners, like, there was like a pole on all four corners, and like there was like a box on the top of each pole, and there was something in each box, and one of the boxes contained the world title, and the other boxes contained something too, and in one of the boxes there was a photo of Scott Hall
sucking dick.
Snorting crack.
What was he doing, Chris?
What?
No, I thought you were finishing a sentence. I just jumped in and said something.
It was just a photo of Scott Hall smiling or something.
It was just a photo of Scott Hall, and then like, then there was fucking crickets on the other on my other line here, and like,
it's like,
wow.
WCW just did.
I guess that was only funny to me.
How did that make any sense at all? Like, they would just do shit that was stupid like that. Like, they did this one thing, too. Like, I remember on Greed, I was watching some of it, where, like, I think it was the loser had to kiss each other, had to kiss the winner's ass with, Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair. And Dusty Rhodes had, like, a pile of burritos in the locker room, and he was like, I'm going to be smelling real good tonight for the Nature Boy or something. And I was
What about when Warrior came to WCW?
That was an interesting promo. WWF painted it like it was bad. I was into that shit big time.
But I'm talking about like when, you know, Hogan saw Warrior in the mirror, and like Bischoff couldn't see Warrior, but the commentators could. Only the commentators and Hogan could see him, but Bischoff for some reason couldn't see him.
He was like the old school Cena.
God damn. Do you guys remember Mike Awesome's entrance against Kevin Nash?
No.
Mike Awesome came in, and he actually got the hit Kevin Nash from behind. That was pretty major.
Yeah, and they said like that was when he had the ECW belt or something. That's the ECW champion, Mike Awesome.
God, Mike Awesome had a decent run that year, man. Fucking
until
like
he became that 70s dude or whatever.
Yeah, and he even did business. I mean, he fucked over ECW, but then he went back, and WWE brought in Taz. Very interesting period.
That was cool. That was cool.
And the coolest thing about Mike
was that show up in Indianapolis. He said it was. I mean, he said the crowd. I mean, they brought Taz in. Place just fucking went nuts.
Because that was a complete surprise. Nobody knew anything like that was going to happen.
Think about that. They were both in different promotions, man. Genius.
Yeah.
Right. And remember when Taz went and fought Triple H on, I think it was SmackDown.
Yeah. The ECW belt.
Yeah. Dude, his run in WWE was, what, a year? Like, actually wrestling?
Not even that, I don't think.
God, like Kurt Angle, I mean, he had one of the best entrances ever. But another thing I wanted to say about Mike Awesome is that he was probably terrible on the mic, but when he was, like, wrestling, one time he went to the camera, he's like, I'm the best, damn it! I just love, like, stupid shit like
that.
I don't know.
If you're familiar with Mike Awesome in ECW and compare it to his WCW run, it's like he fucking just like, you know, he's like, oh, good, I'm getting paid well now. I don't have to do anything. And he really.
My favorite Mike Awesome, like, run in ECW was just, I mean, I know it was kind of a dumb feud, but I loved it was his feud with Spike Dudley.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Masato Tanaka, because that was, like, the most violent match I've ever seen.
Yeah, that wasn't really a feud. That was just, like, a series of matches. Those were fucking killers, too.
Those dudes set the bar.
But it was very, like, you know, it's memorable, some of that shit that him and Spike Dudley did. It's really memorable.
What pisses me off, and we can do a whole show about ECW sometime, too, was, like, how... Like Bruce Pritchard, he's a piece of shit, by the way. I used to listen to his podcast and just gave up because he's so
annoying. Is that Brother Love?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to suck his
dick. None of those guys want to give ECW.
Because that makes him an even bigger piece of shit.
None of those guys want to give ECW any credit at all when they know for a fact that's where that fucking attitude error came from. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. That's exactly like if you watch ECW from 96 and then see how WWF morphed into like the Raw is War thing.
It was the whole Brian Pillman and Stone Cold Mankind are responsible for it.
Yeah. It's bullshit that they, like, you should hear the shit the guy says about ECW.
And even Ron Simmons should have developed his character from what he had decent mic skills in there, and then he became a gladiator.
Yep.
Modern and now gladiator. That Bruce Pritchard is working for TNA, do you think he's the reason, like, that TNA is stealing a lot of stuff that, like, WWE is doing right now, like kind of like how Joe is kind of like the voice of the voiceless for TNA?
Dude, I have no idea what's going on.
I try not to think about TNA too much.
Their show is so messy. It's like he's in that series. What's that series called, Crater? Bound for Glory? Or?
Oh, yeah, Bound for Glory.
The pay-per-view nobody's going to buy anyway. Who would buy a fucking TNA pay-per-view, by the way?
I'll stream the A Austin Aries. I'm going to stream that shit. I'm going to watch your match.
I won't even stream TNA pay-per-views.
I didn't even watch. I refused to watch TNA last night. I just watched Nitros.
Would you stream on a poster?
Yeah.
That was a dumb, stereotypical joke.
So, WCW, I think getting back to the main topic and... You know, we're coming on 2.5 hours here, so we're going to end this pretty soon. I think WCW had a major impact, though, like the Monday nights. If you remember Raw before WCW and you look at Raw, you know, after Nitro and see how far it came just because of Nitro, I mean, at the end of the day.
It might have been an 11-year run, and some people thought, 11 years, that's just 11 years. But wrestling at that period was definitely a time where you were watching two-hour programs with a full staff wrestling. It wasn't fucking Superstars or just a brother love program. You were watching match after match after match, series, vignettes or whatever. It was consistent wrestling, bad weeks, good weeks, good times. Their boom period, I would say, is 96 to 98. Interesting stuff in the early 90s. Probably the dark period might have been what do you guys think, 93, 95, just like WWE?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Hogan didn't blow up until he was the NWO guy, man. Then he's like, man, this guy's a pretty cool heel. We should give Hogan credit for that. He's a really good heel.
93 is CK's favorite year in WCW, though.
What the fuck? Who was wrestling then? Like Kevin Sullivan versus Max Payne?
That was an interesting thing, like. 93 WCW, they had just so many different guys that were coming in randomly, like Honky Tonk Man. Came
Firebreaker, what was his name?
Firebreaker Chip, you had
Jake the Snake in Junkyard.
The Cole Twins. British Bulldog.
When, like, Bunkhouse Buck first came into WCW?
I think it was around that time.
Yeah. Hacksaw Jim Duggan beats Stone Cold.
Tex Slashinger and Shanghai Pierce, which later became the Godwins.
Oh my god, I love Midian.
So.
Do you like regular Midian or naked Midian?
I just like the whole, anyone that's ever been in, who was all in the corporate ministry?
Oh fuck, the corporate ministry, come on.
Oh god. Viscera. Yeah,
nobody cares, I don't think.
Big Boss Man.
What about you guys, though? Lasting memories of WCW. What do you think, like, the impact it had, you know, in Nitro and all that stuff coming along, and then the impact it has from actually not being around today?
The major things I remember is the tribute match with Benoit and Bret Hart. That was the best Bret Hart moment because he was severely unutilized, and he got hurt by arguably WCW's best guy, which was Goldberg. Guys like Eddie was a guy that wasn't properly utilized on television, maybe like 95 and all that shit, but he was never properly utilized on television. He went on to do better in WWF, but I really liked Benoit. The Luchador stuff was interesting. I was a huge fan of Billy Kidman. I really liked this feud with Hulk Hogan, and I saw some people bashing on YouTube. I thought that was a pretty interesting Vince Russo era thing. But I don't know. The NWO, Bret Hart's tribute match to his brother, Booker T series of matches with all the guys I mentioned before, and just Ron Simmons, 1991, Holler.
All right.
Things I remember is the Monday Night War, of course. I mean, you got I'd watch Raw, and then I watched Nitro right afterwards. So that was pretty cool that they, you know, re-aired it. I pretty much just remember high school. I remember wearing the NWO shirts, going to see Nitro when that was in town. The whole NWO thing. I remember when the thing that hit me is when, you know, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash came over. Because like I said before, I mean, to me, you knew it was a storyline, but there was that little bit of, you know, of you that was like, what if this isn't? You know, so, and that's pretty much what I'll take, you know, from WCW, and I'll try to remember the good parts, like, you know, seeing Chris Jericho for the first time, even though he was in ECW before, but I didn't get hit to that till later on, so. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I take from it.
And just to speak on that real quick, I just want to say Chris Jericho had a classic heel turn. I'm not just saying, like, I know the specific moment, but he used to do the typical, like, hanging with the fans bullshit, and he just turned into a complete, like, jackass. So I really like that heel turn.
Yeah, it was killer. Crater, you still on there?
Yeah.
Lasting impressions of WCW, and you'll be the last one on here.
My last what now?
What kind of impressions of WCW? You think about WCW now?
Well, I just like... I mean, the biggest impression it made on me was, you know, just it kind of just changed my life, really, like as far as wrestling goes. Because, like, I mean, I was a huge wrestling fan before that, but like, but not in, you know, in the mid '90s. I was almost 10 years old when the whole NWO thing started, and then like. And I was watching both promotions, both WWF and WCW, but, like, when, you know, I remember, and I'll never forget this, you know, to this day, I was almost 10 years old, and I was on vacation in Virginia Beach, and I was watching the Nitro the night after Bash at the Beach, and seeing Hogan turn heel, and I just could not believe it. And just fucking freaking out as a kid, and just like saying, "Oh my God, Hogan is a bad guy," you know. And just as a kid, it just like my mind, I couldn't wrap that around in my mind, you know. Like,
you're probably crying.
And then seeing like people like Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko and all these cruiserweights and Chris Jericho, you know, just doing the stuff they did. Like, I'd never seen. You know, people do the stuff that they did before, and then like in Eddie Guerrero, you know, and just it's everything around that time just changed. It just completely changed for me, and that's pretty much it for me. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and it was a great time to be a wrestling fan, and like we were saying, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that. We all remember, and the memorable things will stay in our minds, and like, thankfully, a lot of the stuff towards the end, we have to actually go back to remember some of it, but I guess that is it for the Nitro WCW rise and fall of edition, I guess. So it's been fun, Playus.
I've had a really good time talking about it, and hopefully we can do something neater next time.
It'll be super.
Thanks for asking.
So until the next show, and I guess we will discuss it privately. I have no clue what we're going to do. We'll try to do something completely different than this.
We're going to talk about the career of El Dandy.
Yeah.
I like the Bret Hart talking about it in that one promo. That's hilarious.
El Dandy retrospective next week. So, until then, I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Crater.
I'm David Mania.
And I'm the legendary motherfucking Runk.
And we are...
the Fizzizzor.
Holla. We'll see you guys next time.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks.